the CIA started as Wall Street investment bankers and attorneys. That's
really?
Yeah, that's how the CIA started. What? And the CIA started before it was the OSS, when it was the OSS, it was a lot of people from Wall Street and it was a lot of attorneys, and these guys got into espionage, they got into spying, and one of the things that the CIA got very good at is propaganda and how to put out information, and they became, you know, they embedded themselves into all these institutions, the media, newspapers.
A lot of these guys are very separate from the State Department. You know?
These guys know how to do it.
There's a lot of connection too. But.
They know how to get there. They know how to control the narrative, control the message.
The CIA trying to kill me with bad news. Get the fuck up out my way when I pass through. I'm paranoid. Tell me what the fuck they asked you. You fuck around with me and I'ma have to blast you. The CIA trying to kill me with bad news. Fuck around with y'all. Fiction as a bad move. I'm a survivalist. They said I should have been dead over a year ago.
Okay, I gotta do this. My roommate's coming home with his parents. With his Indian parents. They're the best immigrants that I've ever met in my life. They're so much fun. They're smart. And they're cool. They're like, you know, they don't get offended for parents. Man, they're great. But they're going to come home. And so I don't have to be embarrassed to do this. I can't really do it in front of them. But also because they're probably going to have wine and we're probably going to get drunk. Welcome, everybody, to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland. Having a blast, doing my new hour, Jew. Every day at 6 p.m. at the Hive. Shows added Saturdays at 4:20. Yeah, bro. And then one Sunday night at like 10 p.m. 4:20, because they hit me with a 16:20, and I was like, oh, yeah, I could do 16:20. That's how they get you. With this fucking army time, that's how you get to not smoke pot during the day. On today's episode, Dan St. Germain joins me, along with Tim Dillon, and we talk about conspiracies. These two guys love conspiracy theories. Dan St. Germain, by the way, has a new album out right now. You should get it. Dan is a great comic. He is always funny. He's one of the better New York comedians. Everybody respects him. How much do you say about that? But anyway, it's called Bad of the Good Times. You can get it at danstgermain.net or anywhere else where you get stuff. I'm assuming probably iTunes. Bad of the Good Times. I would highly recommend it. The guy's always funny. You guys will enjoy it. Tim Dillon has a Netflix 15-minute special coming out. At some point? Nope. It is out. Guys, check out the Netflix 15-minute specials to see Tim J. Dillon, noted homophobe Tim J. Dillon, do his comedy stylings. He's a communist, too. Anyway, so they came over to my apartment. We talked, but that's not now. Right now at the Fringe Festival, and it's fucking good. I'm seeing a lot less fucking themey hours. I'm seeing themey hours, but they're not like woe is me as much. They're finally starting to shift the other way. Still seeing some, but not so much. Maybe there's always not so much, but it's just like 5% of the people try that here. And those are the ones, maybe that those fucking, they all care about judges and reviewers here. It's hilarious. They're starting to think too, like, oh, maybe I don't really care what people say. I know how it went, and I'm here to perform for audiences. They're starting to get that idea, but they're still locked into this idea that also that like that theater shit matters. Anyway, I had a great time. I went to Glasgow for the first time. Never been there. Really beautiful and very methy. There's some garbage in Glasgow. There's some straight garbage out there. I mean, I saw a girl. You know how the women walk with their shoes in their hands at a certain hour? That's a fucking shirt. There's a lot of that. But then I saw a girl walking like that in the rain with socks on. Just gucci socks. Well, I don't know why that seems worse to me. Maybe because you're ruining the sock. It could be because of that. I had this place. Oh, we should do an episode of Dope Meals. I haven't done one of those in a while. Okay, I'll do that in the outro. I'll do an episode of Dope Meals about this place in Glasgow. Ubiquitous chip. Ladies and gentlemen, my shows are going great. I would suggest here's the some people I saw today, both funny, funny. John Hastings was really good at the Pleasance Courtyard. Jacqueline Novak was very good, also the Pleasance Courtyard. No, around the corner from the Pleasance Courtyard, the other part of the Pleasance. Steve Bouget, I always like. Carl Donnelly, I haven't seen yet because he's fucking overlaps with me, but that guy's always just legit funny. So if you're looking for things to do, that would be great. John Hastings had me like in tears. For sure, get high and then watch that. But get high like, you know, like be a gentleman about it. Get high like 20 minutes before, then get in line. Let it be hitting you and fucking rolling on it. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't smoke out right before you go in. You're gonna, the line's going to throw you off. You're going to take time to fucking calm down. The line will be tough. When you get high, the line will be tough. You're going to be like, are they going in? What's going on? But if you got tickets, you'll get a seat. They'll give you seats. So you're going to have a great time. So it doesn't matter when you go in, actually. And then I don't know what else I've seen. Here, my roommate. Oh, my storytelling show. Fucking the first one went fucking great. It's at 10 p.m. every Thursday. Sloss told a great... Two out of the three stories were... It was drug stories, were about drugs that I gave people. yeah, Sloss told a great one about acid, and Hastings told one about mushrooms. And Ivo Graham was on there, too, and he told a fun one about Mandy. We don't call it Molly. We call it Mandy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start. Let's start. Let's start. Oh, I wanted to talk about what Edinburgh is like. So it's like there's more American comedians going now to this festival. You should go. If you're in the area, you should go. It's fun. There's a shit ton of shows to see, more than you could see. And some of the joy is just fucking guessing. Jack Barrett. Oh, so I was hanging around, and I was like with my friends from London. And they go, let's see a random show. So we just picked a color. And we're like, next flyer we see with the color orange. That's playing in the next, you know, hour. Let's go to that. So we found a few with orange, far more flyers with orange than you'd expect. But they had already passed, and we saw three options, and one of them was Jack Barrett, fucking Australian. Really good show. Very funny. I've seen nothing but good, funny shows. Not so themey, though. Weird. I hear is themey. Some are just like through line. Which is like, yeah, fine. I'd rather that. Just hold it together, I guess. But like, I just don't want to learn anything. No, I said that wrong. I don't want to fucking get serious. You know, I'm here for the laughs. If I can get stuff on top of that, fucking great. So that's the kind of comedy I like. You guys should come to Edinburgh too. It's like everything. You get out of that fucking park. There's a park in the middle, kind of like Central Park, but there's a mountain. It's called Arthur's Seat. And if it's nice at all, you can go up there, take your shirts off. Taps half. I think I found what I had to find for my street team, by the way. Thank you for some of the offers. I think I got a lead. Should come through this week. If I don't, I'll be scrambling. You come out of there, and it's like everything's fucking medieval times. You go into a fucking another generation. It's like fucking 1300s out there. All these cottage walls, you know, the stone cottage. I don't want to say castle, but the same type of that wall that castle has, that kind of cottage. And you're just walking through fucking the year 1400. I don't know what the years were. I don't know when it changed. But you know what I'm talking about. A ye old time. You're walking through a ye old time and nothing. Oh, my God, it's magic. It's just gorgeous. And the sunsets here. I love this place. I love this festival. I have so much fun here. You get new audiences every night. They come, half of them not knowing what to expect, and you fucking break them down and make them laugh at something interesting. God damn, I love it here. And then you see other people's shows, expose yourself to new types of comedy. So some Americans are coming, starting to, but it's the younger ones, you know? Alan Havey's here, and Christian Finnegan's here. I haven't seen Finnegan. So yeah, there's some big ones. They're just starting to find out, like, what's this all about? I want to see their hours. So I can see what they do here and how it's received. How the people like other... I'm seeing as much American stand-up as I can. Yeah, I think people out here are over that serious shit. So Americans, the ones that are here, the cool thing about the ones that are here is they bring their best fucking, you know, They bring their best. They're trying to impress people. They're trying to show. The tough part is, you know, our 7-year comics are going against their 12-year comics. A little unfair, but whatever. But we're better at comedy, so it's fair in the end. It's like when our college, it's like when we send college people to play the fucking Olympics. We only use college athletes, and we won gold constantly. Only sending college athletes. Their pros were like, no, we're sending college. Why? I don't really know. It's when the Olympics were like really amateur. That's weird. I don't really know. And then one year we didn't win the gold with just the college kids. So America's like, fuck this. We're way better. Let's prove it. And so we sent the dream team. The dream team. Remember when they left Isaiah Thomas off the dream team? And the rumor was because, am I getting this right? Because he wouldn't kiss Magic Johnson with AIDS. That could be right or could be wrong. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Okay, great. Perfect way to enter into a conspiracy talk. Yeah, and Isaiah Thomas got left off the dream team. And instead, they put on Alonzo fucking Mourning to carry the bags. He was the only college kid. They wanted one college kid. And Alonzo Mourning, he fucking got the job. He was fucking never as good once he left the Hornets. Fuck you. Shouldn't have left Charlotte. Shouldn't have left the Pels. What was I going to say now? Oh, so here's what I do when I hear conspiracies, because I tune the fuck out most of the time. Some of them are fun to listen to. We were talking about this today where it's like flat earthers are like, I'll listen. With Jessica Michelle's phone, we were like, I'll listen. Tell me, you're not going to fool me on this. You're not going to sway me. So I'm down to listen. I don't feel attacked at all. I like to go the other way. Instead of going, I don't know anything about it. Come on, I like to hit him with harder conspiracies. No, I don't believe in JFK. He's like, what do you mean? What don't you believe? You don't believe what? The Russians did it? No, I don't believe in JFK. You don't believe what? That it was a conspiracy? Like, no, I don't believe JFK existed. I haven't seen irrefutable proof of that. Those pictures can be doctored. No. Like, what? No, I don't. I get why you think that happened, but his parents are coming soon. Yeah, I do that. 9/11, I don't think the World Trade Centers were. There's no remnants of them. Yeah, I saw pictures, but I don't remember them being like that. I've been to New York. I didn't see them. That's fun. It's fun. Because the bottom line with conspiracy there is like, I don't know, but I don't know half the shit you're even talking about. Nor, in the end, just like ghosts, does it affect me? I don't have to do anything. If 9/11 was the Saudis, or if fucking George Bush planned it, or if it was a fucking construction team, or if it was them just trying to get to the gold. You hear that one? They're trying to get to the gold underground, so they fucking dropped the World Trade Center, so the trains kept running all night. That was one of those Eddie Griffin on stage conspiracy theories that always present. He was nuts. He just always talk out of his ass. 1 + 1 = 3, motherfuckers. And he would just be like, what? And he'd somehow prove it. Skipped tons of steps. But man, it was hilarious to listen to. Awful when you still had to go up. He's coming soon. But anyway, yeah, those conspiracy theories are great. I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. So fine, whatever. Tell me about it. This is fun. Because it does not affect me. Okay, what did he say? As in our place, alas. Yes. Okay. I'm going to tell his parents that we should all drink Buckfast. Buckfast is an alcoholic. It's their Four Loko. My girlfriend told me about it. It's an alcoholic caffeinated wine. And it's crunk. It's scissorp. It's their scissorp. I don't know what scissorp is. I'm guessing on this. But it's their scissorp. I'm probably for sure way wrong on what scissorp is and wouldn't even qualify. But I got some for the house. I can't wait to drink this book first. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So they fucking Alonzo Mourning had to carry their bags. And Isaiah got left off the team. He should have been on. Granted, he was at Prost's prime. But it was talking about all these Hall of Famers that were still playing. He had to be there. And America dominated. Won by 60 points a night. It was a fucking glorious time. And now we don't know how to play together anymore. And fucking the world beats us. Beats our pros. Because we don't treat it seriously. We don't practice the whole year. Anyway, the point is, fucking American comics. You guys are the last years of the fucking college kids playing against the pros. So bring your best. And they have. The ones I've seen have really prepared. They're not just fucking around. So it's great to see it. Anyway, I guess more will come soon. It'll start happening more and more. Anyway, let's start the episode. Let's start the episode. Don't forget to come see me. Tell your friends if you have seen me. it's fun. I'm about to put money in the bucket shit. It's fun. They're pretty much all selling out. So you can get there and wait in line. We squeeze in extra people. Ailey, the fucking door lady, the Viking, she squeezes in as many people as I can. We fucking save people. And then there's also tickets for sale. But fucking that goes $2 to the government. So sell. I think sell, show up and buy a ticket at the door. And then you don't have to give those two fucking bucks. What did the government do? Why did they get a fucking tax on it? They helped me write jokes? Well, I mean, $2 for what? For what are you putting that to? To help their experience? Fuck that. I'm in the hive. It smells like puke all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank with Dan St. Germain and Tim Dillon. Don't forget to buy Dan St. Germain's album that's out now. Honestly, he's a very funny comic. And see Tim Dillon in the Netflix 15s. Also a very funny comic. These are legit New York City comedians that always fucking entertain. Get his album, buy it at the good times at danstgermain.net or anywhere else where you buy albums. Guaranteed good time. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 332. I mean, is it even in the 30s? It is in 330, or is it 302? I'm guessing 332. 9/11 killed JFK. Oh, yeah, that's right. You hadn't heard about that. It was 9/11 that did it. With Dan St. Germain and Tim Dillon over, and I mean, no, starts now. Okay, I have fucked up. I have messed up. That is the name of Dan St. Germain's old album. I fucked up. I went to danstgermain.net / like fucking WordPress or something, and an old version of his shit was up there. The new album is called No Real Winners Here. So get the new album, No Real Winners Here. That's what's available at danstgermain.net and then iTunes and Spotify and all those other places. danstgermain.net. No, wait. No Real Winners Here is the album, not fucking the other one. Forget the other one. You can still get the other one if you want, but get this one. Get both if you want, but definitely get this one. No Real Winners Here. I'm fucking, all right. It's 2:30 a.m. and we got drunk off Buckfest. And then I almost had it up, but I still remembered. Why? Because I take care of my business and I don't let shit like this, substance abuse, get in the way of doing a good job. That's right. All right. Ready? Start the episode. No Real Winners Here by Dan St. Germain. Okay. Fucking idiot. Stupid. Okay. Let's start. Here we go.
I really think the war on terror is a bunch of wood. Just a poor excuse for you to use up on your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7. Did they really pull it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place. That's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see is a bunch of what the f- dude is dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such, and that ain't Jersey Shore. Homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposedly telling us the truth. Limbaugh is a racist. Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed. Obama didn't say. That's why I ain't vote for him. Next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful. And I believe in the people. Yeah.
But like, yeah, the people there, man, are garbage. I don't know. I just
listen to the microphone.
I can't unsee it now. It's kind of like They Live.
Yeah, you can't go back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
I
just
think
like,
you'd look good with like denim on denim.
You what?
Denim on denim. Piper's outfit there. He had like a blue jean shirt and then blue.
What do you mean?
Type
what?
And They Live.
Oh right.
And
right,
kicks
right.
In the back, you know.
Yeah, it's just everyone's so needy there.
I tried to get a denim jacket, but when you're a certain size, you can't wear a denim jacket.
Why?
You just look like
it's only an overall.
You look like a painting of a hill in a South American painting.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't. You look like a guy who's trying to get his family back together. You know what I mean? There's no. It just doesn't work. You know.
Yeah.
It's just like you lose
the I made some mistakes jacket.
Yeah, there's a certain type of guy that will just wear a jean jacket. At
I
that
have two
size,
jean jackets.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's interesting.
Yeah, the denim on denim is a good look, though, if you can pull it off.
If you can make it work.
Canadian tuxedo, is that what they call it? But that's got to be the same color. If you go like brown pants, like blue top.
Well, they're always like, whenever they bring up like a... Like somebody like, oh, they're always like, oh, denim jackets are corny. But then you're like, well, this guy made it work. And it's always like James Franco. Or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was going to make anything work.
Yeah, but the most gorgeous person in the world did it.
That's why I love when people right. go, you want to go to a barbershop. Like, give me that haircut. Like, it's come with the face, though.
Right, right.
That is completely separate.
It's sold separately, the face.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's literally a model who's wearing that haircut.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. When do you go back?
I go back on Thursday morning.
Okay.
Early Thursday morning.
When do you tape your CD?
I tape it tomorrow.
Oh, Wednesday. Are you nervous? Excited?
I'm excited. I'm not really nervous. Because it's an album, you can edit the stuff out that doesn't work.
Yeah, true. Know? Way easier.
So like a special. Yeah. No, I'm super excited, man. I'm going to go on tour with it in April.
Really?
By the time this comes out, it'll be around then. So... yeah, man, it's the, you know, I said to people, we were talking before we started recording, like, you know, like when you start comedy, you have like these fantasies of like, oh, I want to like, get a late night set, or then I want to get on a writing staff or sell a show. And then if you do that stuff and then you realize like, oh, the most fun thing was like writing a new joke and it working.
It really
like,
was.
It was like the beginning. Oh, I got the present in the beginning and I didn't realize, I was too dumb to realize it.
Ralphie told me that when I was like a year or two into comedy, maybe a year in, and he saw me and he asked me how long I was in comedy and I told him a year. He goes, oh, that's when it's just fun. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what I'm going to eat today.
Yeah. But it's still just fun.
Yeah. 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 There's no like, there's no extra anything on top of it. Writing, who's staffing stuff and like, what am I? But,
yeah.
You know, how did that guy get that? It's just like, just trying to make a joke work.
Yeah, yeah. Because you come from that place of, can I do this?
Yeah. Can I even do
it? Can I even do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then when you do even once, you're like, oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, like the most fun I think I ever had in comedy. You know, I haven't been doing it a while. I've only been doing it like, you know, 11 years or something. But like 2 years in, 3 years in, was like me and Mark Norman and Mike Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like doing open mics and like.
That was when Mike Lawrence was a dick.
What?
That was Dick Mike Lawrence?
Yeah. But like just doing a horrible open mic and like those and some of the fucking lunatics that were there and then eating at a diner afterwards and just busting Lawrence's balls. And,
yeah.
You know, all busting my balls.
Was he gay back then?
He was bisexual.
So he was like, yeah.
I think he was just, you know, whatever's around.
Yeah.
But I don't think he only hooked up with like a couple guys in Florida, I think. And I hope I'm not blowing up a spot, but I think.
I think it's out.
I don't think he ever, you know, he never really hooked up with anybody in.
The scene?
In New York. No, I don't think so. I think he's mostly heterosexual.
Finance is like that. Heterosexual. Ian, where he's like, just like, he'll be hitting on a girl and then like some guy's like, she's with me. He's like, well, how about I be with you? And it's like, oh, you just switch? Like, just like that?
He's truly bi.
Yeah.
Opposing to Mike, who.
He's bipolar. So this action's an actual.
Yeah.
Something slightly.
I love those guys. Those are the only guys like, the guys like that are the only guys I can talk to, you know?
What? Yeah.
Bipolar people?
Well, just like fucking maniacs.
Yeah.
What's interesting about being gay in the scene is there's not a ton of gay comedians.
There's not.
There's really not. So there's not that element. Like straight people have that element of like, hey, I'm meeting people. Whereas gay comics, I talked to Mateo about
it. What do you mean
it.
I'm meeting people? Oh, like, out at shows.
Yeah. Well, you're just meeting, you know, your coworkers. You might date your coworkers.
Yeah.
Whereas like when you're a gay comic, I speak to Mateo about it. It's like the likelihood of that is so diminished by the numbers because there's not a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, but like, it's just a lot easier to meet a gay guy in New York City, right? I mean,
well, then what? A woman?
No, than a man meeting a woman. Yeah, or a woman meeting a man.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't
right?
think so. I think it's
the same. I thought you guys are more like open
Isn't
to like
homophobic. Is that homophobic?
Maybe? No, it's not homophobic. It's just I think you're saying
I'm not talking about Wichita. I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying like to hook up. It might be easier to hook up.
To meet someone in order to just like it's like the icebreaker.
Biological.
Like,
yeah.
Like I don't know what to say to a girl, and she's gonna be like, "Excuse me, I'm fine." Where it seems like gay guys are more like, yeah, come talk to me.
Yeah, no, there's some of that. But then you talk to guys that get laid a lot and on Tinder and they know how to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's less of a thing, especially since, you know, you have, you know, women now feeling more open about their sexuality and they're, you know, less likely to be.
And it's New York, too. Yeah, so there are a lot of women who are like, that was great. I'll see you. I'm going to work tomorrow. And you're
right.
Like, Jesus.
But I think that is true to an extent. We're like, yeah, if I'm on an app with a dude, it's going one place or it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. No, not an app. You just mean out or like
yeah.
talking
no.
to people.
Then no. No.
Well, not in comedy. I mean not after shows. I agree
I just think it's easy for anyone to meet anyone if you want to.
If like, you're outgoing.
Yeah, I think you're yeah. I don't think there's a huge difference.
That's not true. We know tons of people where it's hard to I'm not going to mention names, but there are people who like I've gone to like there are people with like debilitating social anxiety. You know,
I have trouble just talking to people. Like even after shows, and people like I saw that was a fun show. Like you know, if they didn't know me before, then it's like oh thanks, and then I'll like walk away, and then later go like why didn't I just that seemed like an in? I probably could have just taken that in.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just never know how to do
it. I feel like you get approached a lot though.
Sometimes, but not with like women people wanting to like you know. Date slash whatever hook up.
Is that what you want right now?
What
is that? What you want? Like a more perm? Like a
no? I just mean like anything like sexual.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like date all from dating to like hook up.
I always think they approach me guys though, like who are like you know not like emotionally. You're not like emotionally needy. Like
no, I'm the opposite. People, not needy
like,
at
women
all.
Women are into that.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't know how to like convince. Like yeah, I don't know. I always have that like the jump from like. You were funny to like, oh, hey, let's kiss. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to get
it
to that.
It is like a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. There's also less gay dudes at comedy shows, so it's like hard to...
Less gay dudes at comedy shows.
They go in couples. So if a gay dude goes to a comedy show, the majority of them are coupled.
Hey, would you say one of the worst audience members is the queen?
Yes.
They're awful.
Absolutely. Because
they had one on stage the other day in the front.
They combine a lot of the... Number one, they think they're funnier than you.
They think they're the best.
Number two, it's a lot of the worst elements of men and women, meaning like, you know, it's like aggressive.
Uh-huh.
But also not like... Like, just like entitled.
Yeah, in the
not,
front row. Yeah. Can you get off your phone? I was showing him a meme.
Well,
like,
that's
yeah, don't do that.
The entitled,
don't do that.
The
what
entitled
are you
white
about?
Chick is still the worst audience member.
Entitled white
yeah,
chick.
I
entitled
agree.
White,
number
drunk
one.
White chick.
She's,
yeah.
she's the
worst.
She's the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, like,
yeah, she's pretty bad.
She's.
But then right under her, I think, is like a really, really aggressive
the queens
of,
yeah, they're
queen
rare, they're rarer in a comedy show.
They're rare, queens. Right.
But that's why if you do a gay show, like at a gay bar,
yeah.
sometimes it can be fine and great.
It can be great,
and if
sure.
there's too many queens, you're like, forget this. There's no reason to do this.
Yeah,
what
right.
I think the best is probably a married couple in their late 20s, early 30s.
Sure.
Just there having
best.
The time.
No kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Young professionals, haven't had the kids yet.
Yeah. Not offended by anything. Just here
not
to have a good time.
Just fun.
Like, why, this is why I always think Washington, D.C.'s got the best audience. Cause it's
who?
People,
who?
Washington, D.C., because it's people who work in government, so they believe in nothing.
Well, there's that. I love D.C., but yeah. it's also what's cool about D.C. is like you go out to some of the comedy shows there. There's a mix of people, so it'll be like right. people that drive buses and then people that work for think tanks. It'll be like it's not just egghead San Francisco, and it's not just dumb blue collar Midwest. It's like egghead. There's a mix.
Yeah, eggheads. It's underused.
I mean, gonna watch. Do you remember that Batman villain like back in the Adam West?
Days? Egghead.
Egghead?
No, I don't.
No.
It was an
worst.
Egghead.
It was like Vincent Price.
It was just real fragile.
He looked like a conehead.
Oh, really?
He's like, Batman. It was like seriously like that.
What
kind
was
of
his power? Smell like terrible
it was really
farts.
Smart.
Smell like unpleasant farts.
Yeah.
yeah. He was. He appeared on elementary school buses.
He was smart. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's crazy.
I can tell when Tim doesn't give a shit about it. He goes, oh, that's crazy. And then he yawned and he looked out into the distance. At like
I love this yard.
Like
that's
a
great.
It is.
I mean, I just love the yard.
One of my upstairs neighbors just throws cigarettes into my yard.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is. So how do I? Okay.
Neighbors?
How do you do it? It's not the directly up. The directly up, I know them.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we don't smoke. So that means it's one of the other three floors above. How do I do it?
You write something and you put it in the hallway. Please don't throw your cigarettes.
And you think that'll take care of it?
Yeah, I think so. It'll take care of half of it. And then the other half of the people, I mean, you're just going to have to deal with cigarettes because these people, they know no laws.
It's like you can look out your window. You see there's like furniture here. Like this is somebody's thing.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I mean,
it's not just like you're not thinking about
it. Yeah, but half of the people are going to be like, oh, shit, somebody's noticing me. I'm going to stop. And then the other half are going to be like, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also like what kind of scumbag just doesn't put him in an ashtray?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But like,
I mean, this whole
should world. I go up there and say something to them?
I wouldn't go that far yet. I would go with the sign
just
first.
Like knock, be like, hey, how are you? I'm Ari. I live downstairs.
Yeah, the sign first.
They'll
sign.
Also deny it.
Right, but they'll deny. But as long as the message gets across,
gotcha.
Then it's okay. It's like I don't know if it's your roommate. If one of you guys, doing, like, oh, it's probably even if they know it's them, it's like, yeah, it's probably my roommate. I'll tell them to stop.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as it stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I hate the confrontation. The note though always comes off as passive aggressive.
Well, maybe go with the knock.
Maybe go with the knock and just be like, hey, listen, I noticed some cigarettes, and I'm sure it's not you, but I'm sure somebody's breaking into your apartment and throwing cigarettes off your balcony. Could you get that to stop? Could you control
lock
that?
Lock your door so that no one breaks in and throws cigarettes off your balcony?
It's going to be, you know, it's going to be passive-aggressive no matter what you say.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
It's just going to be one of those things. That's why certain buildings, you complain to a board, and they handle all this.
Yeah,
shit.
The co-op. All that, yeah. I've done that before when I had other tenants up there. They'll send an email to everybody saying, hey, don't do it. And then it's just like...
There are entire industries created because people don't want to talk to other people.
Yeah.
You like know what I mean?
Yeah.
Millions and millions of dollars, money transferring hands, just for people to have those awkward moments.
To be those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
like
a rough
what?
Job.
Building management, a ton of that is like, you know, co-ops, condo board, like all of these different, I mean, and then you can even go further and you have like, you know, people that, you know, conflict resolution, that whole thing, mediators. There are people that will mediate a divorce. They're not even lawyers. They'll just sit there and be like, okay, before you even go to lawyer, before this even gets there, let's try to sit at a table, you know? So it's like a whole group of people that just their job is to like get in the middle.
Right. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That is the funniest job to be corrupt at.
Yeah.
Just like side with one of them no matter what. Side with the hot chick.
We're going to win.
Date her afterwards.
Yeah,
like,
just get bribed.
He doesn't fucking get you.
You think you could bribe like a couples counselor?
I mean, you could try,
actually,
I'm going to give you an extra triple your pay, but I need you to say it's her like her fault.
There's a great scene in Jason Nash Getting Married, which is a... It was a really funny movie. Paul Tompkins plays the marriage counselor, and then like the woman, the wife leaves, and he goes, "Hey man, we're bros. I got this." He just sides with the fucking with Jason Nash. The whole
really?
Time.
That's so
man,
funny.
We're bros.
Yeah, hey man, we're bros. Bro code, like guy code.
That's so
So you guys are way into conspiracies. I don't know how to fucking segue. I thought of
no, it was pretty good.
I thought of a segue before, like a conspiracy and like realistic, but then I forgot what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tim and I, like, we'll call in the middle. And one thing I've noticed about, like, Trump's America is that it's kind of brought me and Tim closer to the middle.
Yeah.
Like, we'll call. We used to kind of be on, like, the left and the right side of things. But, like, we've actually gotten pulled, like...
You're on the right. You're on the left.
Yeah.
Even though we got pulled to the fringes, we were kind of on the fringe. Now I feel like the last year we've both called be like... Hey, man, I really hope there's an Illuminati.
Yeah. We're like, really we want the Bushes and the Clintons back now.
Yeah, because, I mean, know? What's going on right now is just like uncharted territory.
Remember all those empty suits we used to rail against? Let's bring them back immediately.
I hope there's something under the Denver airport.
Because
like,
you start to realize like this system that we're in is like it's fragile, but in a way that you don't really think about. Like you look at what Trump's doing, and you know somebody else kind of made the point where it was like, it's almost a form of terrorism, what he's doing every day on Twitter, where it's like he's inflaming all these events. And it's like, can the country survive, you know, another 4 years of this if he runs again? Like, where we're just psychologically broken as a country because of this guy's actions. And you realize that it's like, it is more fragile than you forget the economy and all that, which is fragile. But like, just the idea of this is fragile.
I mean, you know, like, if, you know, everyone makes the, you know, that... Everyone's like, oh, currency is fake. It's just, you know, and you know whether that's true or not. But then, to some extent, if that is true, then national security, that's got to be true, too. Like,
yeah.
It's all fake.
If you're constantly poking this imaginary bear, it's eventually going to come to life.
Yeah, he's. I could see him starting to go like you know, the dollar's based on nothing, and then have it like, yeah, wait, is it? And
yeah.
then just have it all plummet.
He's a leader in the mold of like a, you know, an old school king.
Somebody
or a,
said
you know,
that,
a despot.
If Bitcoin and cryptocurrency somehow like falls or there's a crash there, it could affect our economy.
It could bleed into Wall Street, absolutely.
Which right. fucking is horrendous.
Money.
The idea.
Yeah.
Like almost a fake system of currency affecting what could be a fake system of currency
yeah.
affecting real life people. It's kind of bonkers.
Do you guys understand Bitcoin at all?
I have no idea. I'm not.
Not smart. Not. I mean, I watched the guy that went on Rogan, Antonopoulos or whatever, and yeah. I mean, I don't understand it that much. I know there's a finite amount of them, and I know
yeah,
that
right. They mine it.
They mine it
so much.
I mean, it's
but no government can devalue it or put,
yeah.
put anything behind it. It's
I
like
know that it's
government.
One of those things. Whether Bitcoin crashes, it certainly possibly will. I think cryptocurrency
it's up and down all the time, and they always write reports. Yeah. Like they always go like, Bitcoin lost, you know, 75% of its value in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, but how come you're not doing stories like? That it's gained like 2,000
yeah.
times its value
yeah.
over the last like couple years.
I think it's here to stay. Cryptocurrency is going to be here to stay. You have Goldman Sachs is setting up a cryptocurrency trading desk. You know, all of these large institutions are going to co-opt. The same way like when podcasts came in and they were like the upstart thing. And then a few years later, people start to realize, oh, there's real ears and eyes and, you know, people we can advertise to. And
yeah.
then it just, you know, the whole podcast business gets co-opted by these large institutions.
Yeah.
It's the same
I thought
thing.
It was going to go that way for a little bit, where,
yeah.
where the bigger companies are going to hire like Adam Baldwin or Alec Baldwin and people like that to make bigger ones, and then they're like, "We have all the biggest podcasts. You'll come to us, and it'll just be a
right.
new like CBS,
right.
like a new
yeah.
network."
Yeah,
I mean, you know, like what happened. I mean, getting off, I guess, topic from currency a little bit, but even the past week with. You know, the mergers, like ABC-Fox merger, and like...
No, what happened?
I feel
ABC
like
and Fox got together?
Well, no, I think it was like Disney bought 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, Disney and Fox are now...
And
really?
Together. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
So basically, I mean, I think... So there's already been rumblings that like... You know,
wait,
ABC,
from the Australian guy?
Murdoch,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That they basically... I mean, and by the time this comes out, who the fuck knows? But, you know, I know a lot of people in Fox and ABC are certainly worried, first off, about their jobs.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also been rumblings. I mean, you know, it's going to be all over the place. That, like, ABC is going to be, like, the scripted hub, and Fox is going to be, like, all sports and all reality TV. Because, you know, a lot of the scripted shows on Fox aren't doing that great ratings-wise.
Right.
That's one of the reasons
like
that
Empire,
conspiracy theories, many of them thrive and flourish, whether they're, you know, some are... You know, kind of undeniably true.
Well,
some
yeah.
are not true, but because you have this consolidation of media, where you only have like these five major corporations, you know,
and it wouldn't take that much to just put the word out on one side.
Absolutely. So
in terms of the cover up,
you then have this. You know, this is why you have the alternative media because you have you know this is wrong. You know that there's too much consolidated. You know the government's not being honest,
yeah.
and you have certain things that are established, and you have the media, which is really. Way too close for most people's comfort with people in power. It's how they get their scoops. It's how they get their stories.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
Bob,
how they get access.
You know, Bob Woodward going from, you know, being the guy to expose Deep Throat, which he was, again, it's like, look at Deep Throat. It's like, oh, he was like second in command in the FBI at the time or, you know,
yeah.
it's like, it's not like, it wasn't like he went, it wasn't like he got somebody from like, you know, the fringe element. He wasn't like
right.
tapping in Snowden,
yeah.
you know, and now like Woodward, you know, being somebody who's, you know,
he's one of the establishment journalists.
I'm gonna, you know, interview Colin Powell's take on the Iraq War rather than,
yeah,
you know, whether
still
or not there
doing it more
be,
of that
rather what
rather than whether there should be an Iraq
yeah,
War.
Yeah, I mean, well, yes, whether there should be, but it, mostly based on, you know, like, well, this fact is wrong and that fact is wrong, rather than like, hey, here's like, let me step back and look at the big picture of this all.
Somebody explained it to me once. They were like, journalists should terrify the establishment in
yeah.
the same way that an inspector should, a health code violation should terrorize like a kitchen at a restaurant.
Like, oh fuck, he's here. We gotta
right.
be on point.
Absolutely. They shouldn't be hanging out with each other.
No, we all got lost with that shit.
Yeah.
We got lost with that hard.
But it has to do with these institutions where like, whether it's education or whatever, where everyone kind of goes, they're all, you know, chummy, they're friendly. It's a very human
yeah.
thing to want to be friends with people.
Well, at some level, like conspiracy is like, what, it doesn't have to be as quiet. Like, okay, like what do you guys think about net neutrality? And like on that level, to me, there seems like some level of conspiracy. Like the media corporations are saying we want it, and then they're also controlling the message to people.
Yeah,
I'll say like, I do not know enough about net neutrality. But
I don't know. Here's what I would say about net neutrality. I know that it wasn't around 2015.
Was there, right. They didn't have any of it, or they had some regulations?
It wasn't a law in the way it is now. And I didn't notice a tremendous difference. But again, I'm not the guy to ask, and I'm certainly not an expert. And I think with a lot of things
there's part of me that's like, maybe some internet should be taken away.
I think a lot of what nobody wants to admit is we don't know how this is going to work. Right. When we were debating healthcare and people were like, you know, our healthcare system is absolutely broken, and nobody's really arguing that. And then people like you would go, you don't know how the new system is going to work. We hope it's better, but I don't know how net neutrality is going to work, and I don't think anyone really knows 100%. I think a lot of people on both sides have an idea, and they have a best and worst case scenario, but I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
No, I think I don't know. I don't like the idea, but then when they said, like, but it was only 2 years we've had it, I'm like, oh, really? I thought we always had it.
Well, that's what I mean. It's only been there for 2 years. And in that void, by the way, of not knowing, that's where conspiracy flourishes.
Yeah.
Because that's all you need
and
for
it's like, they're doing it for this reason.
Right.
And you're like,
you know, and I was thinking about this last night, like, the more sobering and boring the person who's telling me the theory is, the more I believe them.
Right.
Like, I will never believe in Alex Jones.
Right.
I'll never believe it because he's a showman.
He's making too much
really
money.
He really is. I remember I was in Austin when, do you remember there was a guy who went into his army base, his own army base, like a soldier. And he started shooting everybody. I think,
in Fort Bragg.
Yeah. And then Alex Jones was there when we heard about it. He goes, I guarantee you that they didn't let that guy survive because he was sent by whatever. And then it was like, wow. And then it was like, oh, no, he did survive. They got him. They just shot him in the leg. And he goes, I knew it, and I guarantee you this.
Right.
Which that's what a lot of conspiracy theories lose me on, where it's like, you're finding out the details and then trying to push that into a category.
The thing what makes Alex Jones so entertaining is his ability to pivot. In a way that's fascinating. Alex Jones, the guy Ray Kump, who does my podcast with me, said it perfectly. Alex Jones he's just an open mic comedian. He's throwing out premises.
What's
whatever
your
works. Tim Dillon's Going to Hell.
Tim Dillon's Going to
and
Hell.
And we talk about
great podcast.
These conspiracies. And that's what Alex Jones is. He's an open mic comic.
But that's what they do. They switch almost like people who are into astrology.
A real good entertainer. Yeah.
Ever meet somebody who's into astrology? And they're like, oh, you're a Cancer, aren't you? Because of this. I'm like, no, I'm Aquarius. Like, oh, I knew it because of this.
Oh, that makes
and
sense.
You're like, what? Like, you need to tell me ahead of time what you think I am.
But, you know, conversely, like, the people that I do, like, for me, the epitome of, like, a conspiracy theory that's absolutely right is the TWA Flight 800. Like that
what?
Going
what
down.
What is that?
You know, in the 90s, remember the TWA Flight 100? It was about like 230 or 250 people. I can't get the number.
The 747.
Yeah, it felt
supposedly exploded off the coast of Long Island.
Yeah. But the people who came out and said, hey, the story that the government telling you, that it's telling you is bullshit, like, were the Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
Yeah, right.
And these guys have, like, no fucking reason to lie. And even when they
and they say that this
they, what probably happened was human error, which is what were a lot of these conspiracy theories. 747 was flying over a military base. A missile was shot, hit the left side of the plane, I believe, and that's where the flammable fuels or vapors in the fuel tank caused a huge explosion.
When was this?
They're saying this was like 93, 94.
And of course, if that was the case, you couldn't come out and say that
you couldn't.
Yeah. It would
tank the air travel industry. Like, you couldn't.
Right.
Nobody would get on a plane thinking it's a possibility that
In 9/11, when the fucking Pentagon one, the one that was headed towards the White House, went down.
Yeah.
Like, let's roll, and they went down.
Yeah.
And people like, well, I think that might have been shot down. It's like, I think it probably was, and they probably shouldn't say they shot it down.
A lot of these conspiracies, when you look at them, they're actually the middle ground is actually true. Like, when people talk about 9/11, they're like, it was nanothermite and these buildings were brought down.
Oh.
That's probably not the case. But what also probably isn't the case is that we were being told the truth about it, you know?
Well,
because now we find out that Saudi Arabia played a much larger role in the attack. And, like, there was logistical support and funding that came from charities that were connected to the Saudi royal family. And it's like, then we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. Like, so it's like the complete understanding of that event was
wrong. The Saudi royal family is so big that it's like, that's like, they don't act together.
It doesn't. You know? I'm not saying they act together, but I'm saying that, like, those 28 pages were withheld from the report.
Withheld on purpose.
Withheld on purpose. They were the only flights leaving during a no-fly zone. We flew influential Saudis out of the country.
Really?
That is unheard of. Yeah, that's unheard of.
No, it's
unheard of. So the idea of of that is not really a conspiracy. That's just the idea that, like, I mean, the Gulf of Tonkin. You have all these things that years later, you know, right after.
Well, the Gulf of Tonkin was, I think the Gulf of Tonkin was very different because.
What's the Gulf of Tonkin? That's when they said, in order to get us into Vietnam,
they said the boat was sunk by the Viet Cong.
And they just made that up, and that's what flag? What's it called? False flag.
False flag.
Yeah.
And that was one of the original ones. But, and then they were said, hey, they attacked us. We got to go attack them. And the people were like, yeah, if they attacked us.
Yeah.
And then they never attacked us. Yeah. And then we were just there.
But that's,
and it's too late.
I think the 9/11 was less. I do not think that there was explosives that were underneath the fucking World Trade Center. Like, you know, there's been a lot of, like, scientific and mechanical proof that did not happen.
No, I don't think that either. But
I'm just saying, like, them, like, but I'm sure, like Tim is saying.
Yeah.
Which you have the connection to the House of Saud and the
there's a cover. I mean, listen, the Boston bombing happened. The FBI came out and said, we don't know who these guys are. Then Russian intelligence came out and said, yeah, you do. We told you who they were.
Wow.
So then you have the FBI doing a complete about face going, you're right. We did know who they were. We did have a prior relationship with them. And here's what probably happened.
Like, I don't know what you guys
and it's probably not a false flag. Here's what it probably is. The FBI recruits informants all the time. This is how they operate. They fucking have sting operations. They probably recruited these guys. They were trying to get them to flip. Something happened. These guys pulled a harbor. And what is the FBI? If the FBI came out and said, oh, yeah, we were, like, working with these guys, and they turned around and blew up. All of a sudden, there'd be a congressional inquiry. People would lose their jobs. So much of this ARI is just people not wanting to lose their jobs.
Well, and a lot of it, too, is even you look at the Islamists in Europe, like, you know, like, who carried out, like, Charlie Hebdo and other events later on. You know, like the Eagles of Death Metal or whatever the fuck that band was.
Yeah.
In Paris. Oh, yeah. Is that, like, a lot of the authorities in Europe knew who these people were.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just that it's hard to keep track of them all
right,
the time.
Right, right. The know who you are doesn't mean, like, you have one guy on your radar.
Right.
You have thousands.
Right.
And it's like,
even, like, you know, and even surveillance budgets, there's shit like stuff like we can only afford to
monitor. I've seen The Wire.
Monitors, eight to six. Yeah. Like, for one conspiracy theory that I did want to talk about is one that's really fucking disturbing in Belgium. But 8 a.m. to 6. Like, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., like, they were monitoring this one particular serial killer pedophile. But, like, from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m., it's like, oh, well, our surveillance were off. Now, was the surveillance off because they turned it off, or was it off because they didn't have the fucking money?
Oh,
who knows, dude?
You never know.
Yeah, it's what I don't like a lot of times about conspiracy theories is the inference, the jump. You know, where it's like they say, okay, let's say you think 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah.
But then the jump to be like, Bush planned it. And I'm like, wait, is there any proof of that?
Right.
Because I don't see why specifically Bush instead of just like someone did.
Well, right.
You know, these jumps that they make. They're like,
well, in any conspiracy theory, what you're doing is plugging holes. So there are holes, and then you have to go in there and go, okay, we're ascribing motives to people that they may not have had. We're looking at a timeline of events, and then we're judging that, and then – and then we are taking our knowledge – because it's impossible not to do this.
Just
we're
say,
taking
hold on,
our
this
knowledge
this doesn't
right
add
now.
Up. This doesn't add up.
I mean, but there are things about 9/11. I mean, listen, here's the reality of the situation. A lot of these things are how coincidental do you want to believe the world is?
Right.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
So if you go on a cruise and the person sitting next to you is from New York, that's a coincidence, okay?
Uh-huh.
But if planes –
but it's not a conspiracy. Nothing was set up.
No, but it's just a coincidence. You just accept that as a coincidence. Yeah. But
those people, the conspiracy theory people were like, of all the cruises, you happen to be on this one?
But here's my point,
the one
too.
Where I broke up with my
wife?
Here's
my point, too. There are certain coincidences that are harder to swallow. Like when you have 9/11, you have a war game going on that day simulating planes being flown into the UN building. Wow. And that actual called Vigilant Guardian.
And that doesn't normally happen?
No. So that day, you have a war game going on. You have all these jets scrambled nowhere. So, and here's – I'm not saying it –
well, here's my counterpoint on that is like, why the fuck would you – if there was a conspiracy, why the fuck would you schedule that war game the day that
– because you needed to in order to get the jets out.
There.
I mean, but here's the thing. Just going off coincidence, when Reagan is shot – and these are how conspiracy theories are going. Reagan is shot by a guy named John Hinckley Jr., okay?
Yeah.
That night, Neil Bush, George W. Bush's son, was supposed to have dinner – with the Hinckley family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a coincidence. We're a country of, at that point, probably 200 million people. That's a big coincidence. At the very least, it's interesting.
Yeah.
These are interesting things.
Right.
The 9/11 thing is an interesting thing.
But that could be explained away of like Ed Hinckley going, no, I knew that. It got me more mad at them. And I was going to go do that.
Yeah, well, who knows? But see, there could be all. But these are why things start to
Is he still in jail?
Take.
What happened to him at Hinckley?
He's still John Hinckley Jr. Still there. But yeah. That's what I mean. So these coincidences
you don't get
people.
Get out after you try to kill a president.
I don't
right?
think so.
I mean, they're trying to get him parole, but you well,
that's
know.
Like you
only if he kills Trump. They're like, we'll let you out if you shoot
Trump.
I'm
sure Trump. There's a couple. You know, maybe he's one of the maybe if there's a guy, another guy that killed one of the guys who killed Kennedy is yeah. probably out.
No one annoys me more than 9/11 truthers.
They're annoying.
Because you could even – I remember this after in San Diego, I did a show and some guy was like – came up to me and goes, are you into like 9/11 truth stuff? And I'm like, not at all. And yeah. He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't – I mean, I'm literally turned off by it. I don't care in any way.
Yeah.
None of my emotional interest is lies with that at all.
Yeah.
And he goes, I mean, but the way that burned, that's not how a thermite burns. I was like, no, you're not hearing me. I yeah. don't care at all.
Yeah.
None. And they just want to tell you. So fucking
well, it's
bad.
A religion. It's like anything else. It's a religion that's impervious to facts. They don't like...
That's not the way thermite burns.
Yeah.
Like, when did you become an expert on thermite? Well, something like, you haven't even heard of.
Yeah, right.
And how it burns.
It's like if like somebody was a fucking Yankees fan or like was like, hey, man, did you see the game? Actually, I don't watch baseball. Like, well... come on, let me convince you to like baseball.
Fantasy yeah. football people
I'm
who run their team.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't fucking watch it.
Like, I don't care. Stop yeah. talking. You should stop talking
stop
about this because I don't care.
This isn't,
I've shown thing. You that I don't care.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have this whole, you have an industry now. So you guys like Alex Jones are making a lot of money. There's a lot of people that have
who?
Invested. Got Alex Jones, these people make
a lot of money. That guy makes
And so
money.
Now you have an industry
compound.
Of people who have a vested interest in you believing certain. That's why the Vegas guy comes out, Stephen Paddock. It's like, it's a false flag. And I'm like, there's not one shred of evidence that this is a false flag. There's literally none. You're saying that a guy can't shoot people from a hotel room? Completely untrue. Yes, he can. Couldn't have gotten the weapons up there? Absolutely could have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I check into hotels all the time, especially in Vegas. Nobody gives a shit
no.
what you're doing. Literally.
So the scarier thing is that it wasn't a false flag.
Right.
Is that like...
Right.
Well, because I was thinking that. I was like, fuck, man. Like,
is there anybody going to shoot up a bunch of
Paddock.
People?
Yeah.
Paddock had a death count of 59, all right?
Yeah.
The Green River Killer is the most prolific serial killer in the United States.
Yeah.
Had a death count of 50.
I'm just picturing you doing this at Christmas dinner.
On what?
Your brother's waiting to come out of the closet.
Night,
like, finish this already.
In yeah. one fucking night, this guy matched another guy's whole fucking career.
Do you
yeah.
ever think that should happen
crazy.
More? Like that movie theater shooting should have gotten 50?
Well, that's why people go to the conspiracy world, because they go, well, these things don't happen every day, and they should. And it's like, well, no, because everybody's not mentally unhinged. You know, it takes a psychic break for somebody.
And somebody to pull out a gun with no one else saying, hey, what are you doing?
And the planning, and the, you know, it takes, it's just like succeeding in anything. It takes a lot of variables and factors to work with you.
I mean, like, you know, I think another conspiracy theory I think is absolutely horseshit is Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. They were actors.
Absolutely.
I saw those women.
Yeah.
I saw the teachers.
Right.
They were in something else. And it's like,
dude,
they would use the same actresses
again.
Yeah.
One of the fucking, like, and that
That's
particular
nuts.
Instance that you're talking about,
yeah.
like, the grounds for that is that one of the, like, I looked it up. One of the names of the fathers that they say was an actor
yeah.
matches the name of somebody who's in the Screen Actors.
I just love the idea of a bunch
really?
Of
just literally just yeah, like John Smith and John Smith.
Oh, and you know how that was tied into the Vegas shooting? Did you see that?
No.
The brother, you know, they interviewed the brother.
Yeah.
And he had a shirt on of a law firm that represented a theater in Sandy Hook.
Yeah, it gets really paranoid. I just love the idea of a bunch of disaster crisis actors being like, I didn't get Sandy Hook,
oh,
you know?
Really?
I tried. I didn't get it. They're skewing young. They want diverse.
But here's why people do that. Because, like, and again, this is another one that I want to bring up. This is one that was completely true. Is that in the early 90s, this, you know, remember that Naria or, I forget her name, is Naria or Naraya? It was the one, she testified before the first Persian Gulf War. She testified that, oh, I was there and I went to go visit Iraq, and they were taking babies out of incubators and throwing them into the streets.
Right.
And it turned out that she was just the daughter of a Kuwaiti Kuwaiti diplomat,
right,
who was never there and just fucking lied about it.
Yeah, Operation Gladio. Yeah, it's all like, hey, we want.
There's a situation where she was an actor.
Yeah.
Now, she wasn't in the fucking Screen Actors Guild, but she was an actor. And, you know, that whole commission was paid for by you know, a Kuwaiti independence group. And here's the thing. Wow. Saddam was committing atrocities.
Right.
But they realized what they need is like, you know what's going to help? A really a pretty young high school girl talking about how, like, babies are getting killed in incubators. Yeah. That's the thing. And then you look at the House, like, speeches before they authorized the war. There's all these congressmen who are bringing up, they're throwing babies in incubators.
Yeah.
It's the one little sentence off the headline. Follows through it. Yeah, absolutely. You got to make sure, you know, like, you know, a lot of these people.
They,
you know,
they interviewed the guy from Iran. What's his name? Ahmadinejad?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Syria. From Syria.
Bashir al-Assad.
Yeah. And they're like, look at this picture of this little girl. He did like press day. And he goes, uh-huh. He goes, do you know who that is? Yep. You know, she was killed or whatever. She's like barely, she lost an arm.
Right.
Her family's been killed. That's what it was. She's a rebel. He goes, yeah. He goes, let me just tell you this. This is a fake picture.
Yeah.
And like, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm not going to say no kids. There's not atrocities.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, kids are dying. This one in particular is a fake one.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, what a weird thing to say. Because if he said it just doesn't happen, that's one thing. He's saying it is happening, but this is fake. And I saw another video of some kid going down the street in Syria, like rubble everywhere, like a car blown up. And then it's like, wow, look, we got to help them. And then at the same time, you're like, that's from a music video.
Right.
This is not even.
And here's the thing. Some of this is not even. It's like, listen, you have the CIA. They do a lot of covert stuff. They do a lot of shady shit. But then you just also have people online, you know better than anybody, that are fucking trolls. Uh-huh. That are just like, yeah, let me fucking just inject bullshit into this to feed this narrative. Yeah, people
That's why maybe we should get rid of net neutrality.
Yeah, maybe net neutrality is bad. Maybe you got to.
You know, it's one of these things now where it's like somebody had said this, like, I forget who said this, but it was like the Cold War didn't end, you know, like where they're talking about a lot of the stuff with fake news and like, you know, Russia injecting it with all this anti-Hillary shit, and then there's fake news on the Democratic side too. It's like now the fucking terrifying thing with the internet and the terrifying thing with there being, you know, less of like a couple news sources that we can go to, and there's a couple ones like, you know, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, or some that are still pretty, you know, pretty fucking solid, but like... Like, not having these, like, you know...
Staples of truth.
Means that everyone can define their own truth, and that's fucking
And the newspapers
dangerous.
Aren't truthful anymore either.
No. Yeah.
There's no more objective info, because everybody... It's such a profit-seeking model that you have to really get attention now. And if by getting... The only way to get attention is to be the loudest, most shrill voice. So you gotta, you know, present arguments in a way that are provocative. That's the only way to get attention for clicks.
Yeah.
They want money.
Absolutely.
You know?
So let's talk about some conspiracy theories and see what you guys take on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moon landing.
We did it. We were there.
Yeah, we were there.
You think so?
I mean, I think Tim knows more than me.
And
but,
so where does it come from, all the shit? Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, I think that, like, some of it is that, like, oh, the his, you know, the quote, like, the way, like, how he said it and shit like that was like, oh.
The wind, the flag,
the wind,
all
the flag,
of that.
And,
uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Is that, like, it was made in a movie studio also, like, it was too pointed of a quote. And
also that we've never gone back. And neither has any
We went
country.
Back a bunch, and then
neither
we stopped
has any country.
Going. Yeah, I mean, I think you just want to, if you're going to spend so much money to just keep going to the moon, why? What's the point?
So, but why is China and Russia, they've never gone?
I think it's an incredible amount of money to spend to go to a rock that can't have, I mean, there's no life that's going to be there. I don't understand.
I've also never been like, and I'll say this fully, and I know this is just ignorant. It's just me, but I just never been that interested with any of the alien shit, like the space
stuff.
Yeah,
all of that. I get lost with all of that because it's so fantastical. There's never any.
Like, and so true. And so probably true, too.
Well, here's the deal. It's like,
what just happened?
With certain conspiracies, I can show you documents. I can tell you why I don't believe Lee Harvey Oswald was alone. Shooting Kennedy. I can show you documents that make me question the narrative. Not that I know for sure, but it makes me question it. In terms of like the alien stuff, it's like I'm really out of my depth, and I have a hard time believing that the moon landing was faked, and that because not only is it that, Ari, they go it was faked, and because here's the thing, the not going back, by the way, has to do with there's two conspiracies there. There's a conspiracy that said no, we did go to the moon, and then aliens said fuck you, don't ever come back. That's one.
We met aliens.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the conspiracies. So, like, even in that umbrella of conspiracies, you have, like, conflicting things. You have, like, oh, we never went. The whole thing's fake. Or, no, we went. We were told not to come back because of some group that had already existed.
Right. I think that's a weird thing with conspiracy theories, too. Maybe you guys see this where people, like, they can't quite make it match.
Yeah, they don't align.
They fill in with, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably this. You're not even close.
Right.
Absolutely. So I say moon landing, we went to the moon.
But Rogan used to be way into, like, talking about how he didn't believe it. And then people ask, like, straight on, like, you don't believe that? He goes, I'm just saying there's a lot of holes in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
He goes, the Van Allen radiation belt, you can't throw it. But then one of the proofs he would always point to, which I think conspiracy theorists do too, is, like, you're reading into this too much.
Right.
Because one of the things he would point to was Neil Armstrong giving a talk at a college, like, you know, 40 years later, and saying, if we can uncover life's hidden truths, something like that, we can find out a lot or something like that. He goes, what's that supposed to mean? I'm like, I don't know, man, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean we faked the moon landing.
Yeah, that does not mean that at all. Like,
that's a crazy jump.
That's something a fucking astronaut says.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean if we faked the moon
landing? That's just a leap.
People.
In your world of we must have faked the moon landing, and he's only thinking about that his whole life, then yeah, I guess that does fit.
But also, like that's one of those things, too. Like, if you deny that moon landing happened, it's just... You're so not tethered to... Even if this reality...
There's no way, though.
You've got to be... Yeah, it's just too uncomfortable for me. I don't know why, but I just... Like, that one is, like, just too much.
I think the reality is there's people that believe that everything... there's people that believe everything the government tells them, and there's people that believe everything the government tells them is a lie. They're the same type of people. Their main resistance is to critical thinking. They don't like critical thinking.
True.
So those people that go, everything's a lie.
I just start agreeing with you.
They don't want. Yeah, it's a bad road. And then the people that go, everything's true. Because if I, you know, for example, when the whole Abu Ghraib thing came out, you know, our government came out and goes, hey, it's a few bad apples, you know, fast forward. And it's like, no, it was a program that was designed by the Defense Department with psychologists
to torture
people. And there was a labyrinth of secret torture prisons all over the world. And you're kidnapping people and transporting them to these prisons. But if you had said that 2 days after Abu Ghraib, you would have been laughed.
It's not a black site. It's black sites.
Right. It's black sites. But if you had said that after Abu Ghraib, you'd be like, no, this our government's doing this, man. And they got a secret underground prisons. Imagine if you'd use those words. Like, people would be like, dude, what are you talking about? A few people got drunk and were doing stupid, cruel things. And you're just like, no, man, there's more going on. You would have sounded like such a nut.
Yeah.
Now, 10 years later, you would have been vindicated on everything.
Well, that's what Jose Canseco wrote that book about how everyone in baseball is taking steroids, pretty much.
Right.
And it was like, fuck you, Jose. You're jealous. Get out of here.
Right.
And then 10 years later, when it came out, he was right. People, he was like, hey, can I get an apology or something?
There's rampant pedophilia and sexual abuse in Hollywood. Calm down.
Yeah.
Fast forward, everybody's like, well, everybody's being acute, you know?
What about the Denver airport? Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I heard that one. Is that there's like a secret the Freemasons meet under the
airport. And that's where they're going to house like the last big, like, when they...
Well, there's a bunker.
Take everybody. Uh-huh. Yeah, all the prisoners.
So I'm sure there are bunkers everywhere, so why wouldn't there one be under the airport?
So I spoke to a guy that worked in the Denver airport who literally said this, and it was kind of interesting because I had flown in a few times, and it is weird, and I love all this shit because it is interesting and fun. And I said to a guy,
the murals, everything.
Yeah, the murals are weird, but it's like I said to a guy, and the guy literally said to me, he goes, listen, we built
murals up though. If you had it all.
Yeah.
What is all this like?
All this weird telegraphing.
Intentionally giving away. Not like we uncovered a clue.
Rich, no one's going to know. I'm going to put it in the middle of fucking, you know, Indiana.
But the guy that worked at the Denver airport said to me, he goes, nope, because just the luggage system. He goes, I worked on it. He goes, it's a luggage system that literally doesn't work. He goes, we wanted to have a bunch of underground tunnels that would transport luggage from terminal to terminal. It literally was the worst idea ever. It didn't work. It was a mechanical...
We abandoned it?
Yeah. He goes, it's abandoned, and it doesn't work. And now, here's the weird shit. It's like, why does the Queen of England, why did she buy property? Why does the royal family own property by the Denver? That's the type of shit where you go, well, that's interesting. If you start looking at where really wealthy people own property...
Like the Queen, but it's near it's near a busy airport.
I mean, what is shy? Here's one of those things.
Busy airport. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking.
But they're like, why that one? She was
Is it shocking that there are underground bunkers for people to survive? No. I mean, underground D.C., there's a whole city. There's an underground Washington, D.C. It would not shock me that there are... I know for a fact that there are underground military bases. So none of that would be shot. The end time? Here's a problem. When people think about the Illuminati, they think the ruling class is homogenous. They're not. They're a bunch of wealthy, powerful people.
Okay.
They're not homogenous. They're not all sitting at one table. It's not like the council of whatever.
The Koch brothers and...
There's a lot of wealthy people.
That's what gets me on the AIDS cure.
Yeah.
They have a cure for AIDS, but they say they don't want you to have it because they can make way more money giving out like... AIDS treatment.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, but that implies that all doctors split up the AIDS treatment money evenly.
Yeah.
And one doctor who said, I have the AIDS cure, wouldn't be hugely wealthy.
Yeah, and I don't...
So why wouldn't the one doctor, here?
Yeah, I don't think they have the AIDS cure, and I think that a lot of people...
I don't think they have an AIDS cure, but I do think, like, I do think that there's some stuff with the American Medical Association where, you know, they I think what that stems from is there's a, like a lot of cancer treatments and a lot there's a lot of things that are like, hey, let's put this one piece of equipment here that's thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, you want to know a truism? You want to know how the best chance to have to survive a disease? Be fantastically wealthy.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a truism, and it's unfortunate, but it's like, then you get into the idea of
there's
like,
also a vaccine for AIDS, which is just not butt fucking.
That's right. What's and then now you get into the thing of like, well, what's a conspiracy, and what is just simply the way things work? Wealthy people
have more money.
Have more money, and they have better. And yeah, they watch each other's back. They will.
Well, I had like a guy. The laws are set up by wealthy, so of course they're going to benefit the wealthy.
Yeah, and I had a guy on my podcast made a great point. He goes, "These are the same people that will sue each other back and forth, but when they're faced with a common enemy, they realize that they have more to gain by standing together and going, no, we're rich people. So on matters of foreign and economic policy, the policies that benefit us, the people that propagate those policies and the institutions that those are the things that we're going to back. And it's like, is that a conspiracy? No, it's just what it's self-interest and it's the highest levels of society perpetuating certain ideas that make them money and keep them in power. It's not a conspiracy.
Right.
Yeah.
So what makes a conspiracy?
A conspiracy means, I think, that
you have to drop out of Skidmore your second year, and then get a lot of X-Files T-shirts.
I look at a conspiracy as in
Guardian Angels hit.
Is an event where, not necessarily an event, but a lot of times it's a historical event that people do not believe happened a certain way, and there's a vested interest that there's powerful groups of people keeping that knowledge from them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I see. Well,
I agree with Tim. And here's something funny. For me, the biggest example of a conspiracy theory would be MK Ultra, because so much of it's true. It's the CIA mind control.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of it is true, but then a lot of the stuff that's come from it is bullshit. But
yeah.
Even before I get into this, it's funny, we're talking about all these these things like the Denver airport, and we're talking about 9/11. We're talking about all these big events. And the amount of actors that are, the things that are involved, but there are some horrific things, like for instance the Tuskegee syphilis experiments, right? That you can they're just out there. You can get all the info about that. Like
it's not a conspiracy.
In the 60s, it just did it. Like the doctors, black doctors, stumbled all these documents and send them to the Washington Post, and were like, "Hey, fucking, they're killing us." And people were just like, "Eh."
They did nothing about it.
I mean, they gave them some restitution, but they kept coming back, like, "Hey, this is this is racist. Hey, this is a clear violation of the Nuremberg laws." You know, like all this stuff, and everyone's just like, "Yeah." And even now, like
people don't believe it. They're like, "Yeah, man."
Yeah, if you type in the reptilian agenda, you're going to get thousands of videos.
Right.
If you type in the Tuskegee one, you'll get a couple.
Which is also not an accident. Like the idea that like there is some, whether you want to use the term controlled opposition or like the idea that there's all of these guys like Alex Jones that own the turf of these major questions is tremendously beneficial to the government, because it's so easy to discredit legitimate inquiry by pointing to a guy like Alex Jones and going, "Look at that crackpot believes
it." But that's what I do in the X-Files. They're like, they let some stuff come out by the crackpots. They're like, that helps us, because then it's uncovered by weirdos.
Absolutely.
Who nobody believes
you. I mean, a lot of the alien stuff is probably cover for legitimate black ops defense stuff that we're actually doing. DARPA, which is a Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, takes the best minds in the country, and it's the least reported on agency. And you have all these scientists and mathematicians trying to figure out the next generation of super weapons. And if people think it's a bunch of fucking gray aliens underground, it helps. It's much better for them, especially if you can fucking put that out there so that people don't ask legitimate questions about why are we building so much weaponry, and then you get into the whole idea of like, well, so much of this economy is just kind of based on war and conflict, and people are really uncomfortable
since World War II.
Yeah, has been since World War II. So people get there's a level, especially because we're the beacon of hope and freedom, and then you find out we've been getting involved in just war after war after war. And
War for Perpetual Peace, great book. Perpetual War for Perpetual Peace. And it tackles with this, and it's also his interviews with Timothy McVeigh. And he kind of makes Timothy McVeigh look a little bit too heroic, with Timothy McVeigh was just a white supremacist, Gore Vidal.
Oh yeah, it's a real a snow piece on Timothy McVeigh.
It's a little bit.
Yeah, no, it is.
Formidable. He's one of my favorites.
He's great.
That book is great too.
Yeah, but if you feel like Timmy McVeigh got a bad shake, pick up that book. Because you know, and there's a lot of people out there that are like,
and then he realized like Timothy McVeigh's favorite book was the Turner Diaries, which is just the most atrocious piece of white supremacist literature,
anti-Semitic, fucking
right. Yeah. But back to MK Ultra.
What is that?
Well, it's the CIA's mind control.
Experiments.
Yeah,
they had met it on giving psychotropic drugs to children, adults, giving...
Is that when they were, like, dosing people with acid when they were coming out?
Yeah,
hookers?
Actually, there's a great documentary.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was
Midnight Climax.
And that's part of MK Ultra?
That was part of MK Ultra. Because they realized that these people would have too
What's
much
MK?
Shame
What's MK? Mind control?
It's I don't know what the MK Ultra is a specific like it's a it means a classification of a government like very secretive classification.
Yeah.
But it was developed in 1953 early 50s by Sidney Gottlieb, and then it ended in the early 70s when Richard Helms, who was the CIA, had just fucking destroyed all the documents.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff that, like, but Alex Jones then around like, MK Ultra making the frogs lesbians, you know, he'll
jump
to craziness.
I mean, here's the thing. The original, the real deal, you know, the idea that, you know, we brought a bunch of Nazi scientists over in Operation Paperclip, and we basically said, all those experiments that you guys were doing, you know, we're going to now do them here because we want to know how to create a super soldier, how to create a Manchurian candidate.
So
totally hijack someone's mind?
So how do they keep all that, the fact they're doing that, secret from everybody
else? I mean, how do they not keep it secret? If you talk, they kill you or they discredit you or your life is ruined. There's not a ton of incentive.
Well, it's also the 50s and 60s, dude.
Well, like, it's the 50s and 60s, but there's a lot of newspapers then. People could have said things. But listen, here's how the Washington Post – Is a good these are government papers, the New York Times, all, you know, the CIA started as Wall Street investment bankers and attorneys. That's how the CIA started.
What?
And the CIA started before it was the OSS, it was a lot of people from Wall Street and it was a lot of attorneys, and these guys got into espionage, they got into spying, and one of the things that the CIA got very good at is propaganda and how to put out information, and they became, you know, they embedded themselves into all these institutions. The media, newspapers.
A lot of these guys are very separate from the State Department. You know?
These guys know how to do it.
There's a lot of connection too. But.
They know how to get there. They know how to control the narrative, control the message. That was one of the first things that they established.
Well, it's just like the CIA running. You know, there's that Gary. You know, the Gary Webb article. Which who knows if
What is that?
Gary Webb is the guy who broke that. Like, you know, the connections between the CIA and the crack going on the streets in Los Angeles. He wrote, I believe, for the San Jose.
And that's all known as true now.
Well, it's still a conspiracy. Here's what's true about it is that like. There's no when you have the same planes like transporting weapons of the CIA and the drugs back. There's got to be some connection.
Yeah,
I think what a lot of the times happens is that like CIA isn't like, hey, put this amount of drugs in Englewood.
It's not a monolith.
What they're doing is they're just kind of turning. They're like, oh, you can give us this.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna turn our heads and let you sell these drugs and wows with heroin.
Right.
You know, they've done it a ton of times.
And they
it's
love
like if the one buyer's from downtown. Then it's like that's where it all.
They
goes.
Love. They love an un. You know,
they're going to turn their heads if they think they can benefit from.
They love a stream of money, a dark stream of money that Congress doesn't have to approve coming to them so that they can do whatever
they
want.
Well, one thing I've noticed is a lot of times they'll do, even non-conspiracy, they'll attribute something to the group when it's just one person in the group.
Yeah.
So they're like, the CIA let this stuff go where it's like, oh, it's just one crooked guy taking a bribe.
Well, yeah,
and the
CIA is
just he's not doing it on behalf
you're just
of the
training
CIA.
A bunch of sociopaths. You know? You're training
like,
a bunch of
does
people
the TSA,
who are sociopaths.
Does the TSA steal iPads as a group
well,
and resell them? Like,
how
no,
many
it's
articles
one guy,
came out?
One.
How many articles came out that were like men in comedy, the men of comedy?
Yeah,
it's just like one or two, you know.
Yeah, and you're taking people.
Oh, I disagree. I think they're the real problem.
Yeah,
that's the real. They're under the airport.
It's Al Franken's under the Denver airport grabbing asses.
Hey, he's grabbing the blue horses.
You know, hey.
Oh, now. You're a liar. And
yeah.
He grabs the horse's ass.
But I mean, that's.
But there's also some genuinely fucking funny conspiracies. On the side note, like my favorite is.
By the way, is Dan St. Germain talking right now? His new album is out this week.
Oh, yeah, it should be.
Do you know what the name of it is?
It's probably going to be No Real Winners Here, which makes sense.
It's called MK Ultra.
It's called MK Ultra. But my favorite one is one of my favorite ones is The Black Hand, which is you know that
what is that one?
It's Henry Lucas and Otis Toole. They were two serial killers. Like, one of them, Otis Toole is the guy who, you know, the guy America's Most Wanted? He's the one who killed his son.
Killed the guy's son?
Yeah,
really?
He's that guy. But these two dudes...
They got him.
They got him. I mean, these two dudes, degenerate, psychopathic serial killers who have murdered probably combined, you know, 50 to 100 people.
Damn.
But the problem, maybe less than that, right? But the problem is that, like, they say that they were part of a secret organization of serial killers called the Black Hand that would tell them where to murder people and where to do this. And they also say that that's the reason they have hundreds of kills. Now here's where the conspiracy comes in. The reason they have hundreds of kills on there, or they've been fingered for hundreds of kills, is because there was a bunch of corrupt cops who fingered, like, fucking Henry Lee Lucas on crimes he didn't commit. Henry Lucas killed a lot of people, and he should be, you know, in jail or put to death.
But these corrupt cops are just like, ah, fuck it.
Shit, that'll help us close some cold case, because this guy will admit to everything. It admits everything, like, and people saw him, like, you know, like, he would get to go out.
He'll
be
like, sure, tell me when I'll say I did it.
Like, we'll bring him to a field in Kentucky, and he'll be like, I murdered him over there. And they're like, actually, don't you mean a little bit over here? And be like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then they give him a hot meal, and he hangs out.
And he gets another on his record.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, I think, is hilarious, is like that the CIA created the hippies, you know, to discredit the legit. Now, here's the deal. The CIA did a lot of drug experimentation.
And there was a lot of, like, going undercover.
Yeah, but, like, there's a book basically written where it's like the CIA created all these bands, and I just think it's hilarious, like, the CIA being just, like, in a studio being like, no, it's Mr. Tambourine Man. Tambourine, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
When you start
who's
to,
the Wells Walrus Mark Felt
right it's just like when you start to believe that there's nothing organic about any event or any movement, I think there's you have to check your own head and go, wait a minute, I've started to look at everything through this weird prism that it's all got to be this interconnected thing when it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that I do think that, like, you know.
I had a thing on my podcast about pedophile cults, and it's just like, you know, it's kind of
one cults.
Yeah, where it's just like.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about Pizzagate? Sorry, go ahead.
Pizzagate's totally fake.
I know, totally fake.
Well, it's totally fake, but it conceals the reality of, like, yeah, there's a ton of pedophiles in power. They fuck kids. They cover it up. And it's been going on been going on since Rome and Greece.
Kids, like, didn't just now get this cute.
Yeah, this isn't last year.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, too. It's like, and this is something that's even more fucked up that you're going to see a lot of, is that, well, like, and this is like, you can read in New York Times, I think it's an article in 2015-2016. Like, Russians were planning child porn on British enemies.
Yeah.
You can also do that. Yeah, you can also plant child porn on your enemies. Hey, this guy's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And then you're fucking in prison getting shanked.
What's it doing on your...
But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, when you start thinking about it, it's like, you're a rich pedophile. You're not grabbing a kid off the street. There's going to be a service. There's going to be just like... There's going to be a sex ring, like an escort service.
Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, they were pass-arounds.
They were pass-arounds. Just...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I mean, look at the Catholic Church.
The one that's, like, really Catholic chilling Church. To me is... where I was checking out last night, which Tim knows what it was.
Mark Dutroux.
Oh, my God. In
Mark
Belgium.
What?
It's called the Belgian Monster. Mark Dutroux or Deltroux or Dutroux.
Yeah.
Who is he?
He's this guy.
He's a good guy.
He did New Faces in 2007. He's this guy who, you know, for sure murdered, I think, 5 or 6 girls. And, you know, abducted girls, you know, raped them, sexually assaulted them, and then murdered them. Now, the thing that's fucking, you know, and then they're like, oh, let's throw them away. The thing is, the guy's on government welfare. He owned 5 homes.
Yeah.
Okay?
5 homes?
Yes, he owned 5 homes, right?
On government welfare?
Yes, yeah. He owned 5 homes on government welfare, and... he's one of these guys who, like, the first investigator who was put on it, they fired him immediately. Like, after he found these girls, they fired them. And here, I mean, look, and there's this thing, too, where it's like, well, he raised money for these girls' families, so they're like, oh, he's biased. That's why they got rid of him.
Yeah.
But then after that, it just kind of disappeared. So it's like stuff like that. It's fucking horrible to think about because.
But it's the reality of, like, listen, what are you going to do? You want to fuck kids and no one will let you. And it's that Louis joke about rape. It's like, well, yeah, it's, you know, I would never rape someone unless they wanted to have sex with me. They wouldn't let me. It's like, here's the thing. It's like, you're a rich person. You have a disease. You're a pedophile. And yeah, it's like, after you fuck these kids, you kill them. You're not taking them out for ice cream. Like, it makes, even though it's the worst thing you can think about, it's the most horrible thing, but it makes sense. Yeah. So to me, I go, well, it's not a conspiracy. It's a horrible thing.
Conspiracy is something that wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense.
But conspiracy really is conspiring. With that means
conspiring.
A bunch of people.
And there are elements of conspiring because, listen, nobody's walking around going, hey, I'm a pedophile. Yeah. But there are elements of, you know, you got
to
cover up.
To cover it up. How do you keep it? How do you keep in all these conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
It's always, that's what always loses me, that not one person is going to be like, hey, by the way.
Because they do, though. They do talk. Here's the thing. Journalists are lazy by definition.
Oh, yeah.
Journalists are lazy. And they're packed. They go in packs, okay? There is a, in every story, what happens is it gains enough steam so that it gets broken, and then every journalist goes after it because they feel like it's safe, okay?
Uh-huh.
This just happened with Me Too and sexual assault after Weinstein. Every journalist that wouldn't touch any of these stories.
And now they're doing it.
Now they're doing it because they felt like it was safe. In most of these stories, people are – some of them are afraid because they face career-ending consequences if they go too far out of the mainstream.
Right.
It's just the way it is. They won't be able to get a job. You'll be on a list of people who's a troublemaker.
But it's also like, you know, it's also like what conspiracy theories, like what's the thing that's going to sell the most papers? Like I just brought the
two. You mean that's why they don't break it?
I think a lot of them would sell papers.
I think you and I think that because that's what we believe and what we like talking about. Like nobody gives – like people like talking about the CIA. I guarantee you now with the way that America is, nobody wants – people want to hear stuff about – fucking the people want to hear Pizzagate. People like that fucking sexy word shit. Nobody likes to talk about where, you know, the money if you that's how they always said, if you want to know the most about foreign affairs, go to the fucking business section of the New York Times, you know, like, or the business section of Wall Street.
Well, I also think we're a country of children who doesn't really want to know how we have these lives and how much longer we're going to have them. I don't think people really want to know.
They don't want to examine too much.
We don't want to examine because we have pretty good lives.
We don't want to know.
I mean, even at conversations, you know, like after an hour conversation on the phone where we're talking about whatever conspiracy or whatever.
Ta-Nehisi Coates had a great line about those dollar cheeseburgers we all buy at every fast food restaurant.
Uh-huh.
He's like, someone somewhere is paying for that. You know? Someewhere is subsidizing the convenience of having cheap food. Right. Through a window handed to you.
But, I said before, like a lot of times, like at the end of every conversation me and Tim will have for an hour, we'll just like pause and be like, you know, the most important thing though? Probably meeting somebody and settling down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like meeting a family, having something outside
of this place. Well, that's the thing. These conspiracies and this.
They won't make you happy.
They're not going to do it. And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to find the truth. And listen, I've met a lot of guys.
Who knows a family will either?
Nothing will, really. I met a lot of these guys through my podcast that like went down into these dark corridors.
It's like you're not going to. Like,
you don't want to be them because here's the deal. There is some stuff you just don't want to know. I'll be very honest with you.
It's going to be Nicolas Cage at 8 mm.
Yeah, there are certain things you just don't want to know. You don't want to know the reality of a lot of horrible shit sometimes.
That's
why you don't want to read like statistics about Steery all the time, or you know, sometimes what's like, you know, going on if there's like, you know, a huge coup in Liberia or some shit like that.
You don't want to know these things. I read that there's a certain amount of bug parts allowed in every cereal box. I didn't want to know that. Jesus, yeah, I didn't want to know that. Who cares?
To be fair, that's got to be healthier than the fucking.
It's much healthier than anything else in there. But it's like one of those things where it's like,
you know,
you don't need to know that. You could just be a good person without knowing that.
Yeah, some of those things say. Listen, it's one of the things that says it contains non-biological ingredients.
Yeah, the more you read about conspiracies, the less you're certain of conspiracy, which is interesting. You actually start looking at the world differently, and you go, oh, I don't know everything, and everything's not a conspiracy, and I'm less certain of all the things I thought.
Yeah.
And we're just a bunch – yeah.
Because there's always a counterpoint for a conspiracy, and a lot of the times the counterpoint have just as much validity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like for instance, like – oh, I'll just take an example of something that happened in the 2 days for me, right? I rewatched – goddamn, what's the there's a new JFK documentary came out in 2013. It was like an Australian, and it was basically reasserted the theory – of like the person who killed JFK, it was actually one of the Secret Service men who, like, you know, he got scared. He picked up his AR-15. It went through the and I was like, yeah, that seems logical. And then today, this morning before I come over to the podcast, I'm reading about Operation Northwoods.
Which
that's the one where the government Joint Chiefs of Staff basically signed over and gave it to Kennedy to sign false flag operations
to make it look
like
Cuba.
Cuban terrorists were like hitting Miami and
Washington. Really? Blow up a boat.
Totally true.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Totally true.
That's what, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
So people now go, well, this
well,
government
Kennedy,
can't
well, Kennedy
be
says
of that.
No, right? And then he's killed, you know, a year later.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, maybe the whole fucking thing about the CIA behind it is right. You know, like,
you don't
who
know.
Knows?
Yeah. You don't know. I think
sorry to interrupt, Ari.
There's too much with Kennedy to believe that for me to believe Oswald acted alone. Yeah. I it's too much.
Really?
Yes. I cannot believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted
Sean
alone.
Sean Donnelly will disagree with you.
What is he? No offense. Has he ever read a book on this
or
any
an
subject?
He's an expert. Oh, God
okay.
damn
an
it.
Expert on,
he's an expert
okay.
on JFK.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get
is
from
he,
him.
Is he not? Why do you think he is?
He is. He's an expert on JFK.
Okay, good.
Is.
Well, I would become an expert on some
just,
other things.
Just too dark Irish.
No, but he does not. Here's the thing.
He knows a lot about JFK.
Does he know who George DeMorenschild is? Call him right now and ask him if he knows who George DeMorenschild is. And then see if he's a fucking expert. He's not. Not an expert.
Who is George DeMorenschild?
He was an influential guy who was in the Texas. It was like Oswald's handler.
Do you want me to put him? You want me to call him and
call,
say,
call Sean Donnelly and be like, "Who's George DeMorenschild?" Maybe I'm wrong, but here's the thing: George DeMorenschild was a very good friend of Lee Harvey Oswald. He was almost like his handler. He was a friend of Poppy Bush, George H.W. Bush. He was this very influential guy in the oil business in Texas.
I read this book that Tim gave me. It's very good.
It is very weird. It's just there's a lot of weird shit to say. Nobody's an expert. It's very hard to be an expert on anything. We're comedians. We're experts on telling dick jokes. We're not expert, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're not even.
Don't bother,
really
Sean.
Expert
I mean, I feel
no,
bad.
Sean, no, about
text
no, call him up. I want to hear him speak a phone.
If
he knows
see
who,
if you guys like start
if he knows who DeMorsh Brown is.
Yeah, I do, because here's the thing. If you're an expert on the Kennedy assassination, you have to know who he is. You might not agree
with
it.
Who is he? What did he do?
He was a guy that was in that scene in Texas. He was like an oil guy. He was a very influential. Maybe people say he was an agent, intelligence guy. Maybe not.
And?
He was friends with George H.W. Bush. He was friends with Lee Harvey Oswald. It's
and?
Web.
What about him?
What do you mean, and what about him? He did the murder of the president. This guy was a very good friend of his. He was he was also a very good friend
of who, the president's?
No, Lee Harvey Oswald. And he was also very good friends with CIA people and major oil people in Texas, people that hated Kennedy. And it's like, well, that alone is like,
maybe
again.
Maybe this guy helped me.
Well, you're accepting a lot of coincidences. Maybe they're just coincidences, but these are a lot of coincidences.
Also, the one bullet thing going around and like.
Yeah, I mean, it can be happened.
Well,
it was proven
that
it can.
That can be, like, they tested that before. And if
it can be done.
It can be done.
It can
totally
be what?
Can be done. And it can be done in the way that the bucket seats were in the car. It could have easily gone through.
And listen, maybe at the end of the day, if you look at DeMorenschild, maybe there is nothing there. But the idea that there's one, the connective tissue between a lot of these people, you start looking
Sean
at.
Sean said we can call him in.
Okay. Call him.
Speakerphone it. Put it right up to the mic.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? This is Sean Donnelly. This is Ari, Tim, Dan.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay, so we're arguing about JFK right now. And I'm not really arguing, right? I'm saying, like, hey, I'm more of on the fence of I don't know.
I would believe that Tim was there more than George W. Bush.
I'm not saying George H.W. Bush was there. Do you know who George DeMorenschild is?
Boom, he does know.
Yeah, I mean,
Tim was talking such shit before.
I was saying you didn't know. I didn't think
he doesn't know who this is. He doesn't have a serious opinion.
Well, no, Dan said you were an expert on.
Stop it. Tim is such a
freaking
blowhard.
Yeah, Sean, you're not a blowhard at all. By any means, nobody would meet you would think that about you. First of all, Dan said you were an expert on the Kennedy assassination.
I did.
Would you characterize yourself as that? Okay, well, that's all I was saying. I was saying that I'm not an expert on it. I find it hard to believe that any.
What do you think he did?
Well, first of all, what are you talking about? I said George DeMorenschild. I said, don't you think it's odd that the connective tissue between a lot of these guys, like Oswald's friend George DeMorenschild, was also friends with George H.W. Bush? Like, you don't find these connections worth probing? You don't think that they're interesting at the very least?
Didn't care, and they didn't do their due diligence or an investigation on it.
Well, when George H.W. Bush, here's my deal with George H.W. Bush. He was asked where he was when Kennedy was shot, and he didn't know. That's shocking.
Tim, you're very loud. Right?
That's shocking.
I can hear you.
In an interview, George H.W. Bush was asked, where were you when Kennedy was shot, by a Japanese interviewer. He said he didn't know. A writer dug up where he was. He was actually in Tyler, Texas. Here's the other thing. George H.W. Bush, he was in Texas. He actually called the FBI to inform on a guy named James Parrott, who he thought might have killed the president because he was this right-wing guy in Texas. So not only did George H.W. Bush forget where he was.
This guy likes art. I think he might have something to do with it.
But it's weird that he forgot where he was. I think he was trying to distance himself from the event. I don't know why, and I can't and listen, I can't tell you why, but I'm just telling you, it's weird that every human being knew where they were that day. One guy forgot, and it was a guy that actually informed.
Isn't it possible that he would have gone, I mean, yeah, somewhere in Texas, but I thought you meant specifically where was it. I don't really know if I was at a diner or what.
No, he said, I can't recall. That was his answer. That's a bad answer. You don't give that answer. No one gives I can't recall unless they're really trying
lying
to hide something.
I can't recall.
So Sean, listen, I don't know what any of it adds up to, buddy, but I just...
He's bringing up the buddy now.
No, because Saint Germain said Sean's an expert.
Wait, let Sean talk for a second.
Tim Dillon shit on you to your face. Go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead, Sean.
That does seem insane.
Well, yeah, but I think there is evidence that, you know, people have said, you know, the Warren Commission was a commission that didn't seem too interested in interviewing certain people. I don't know that. I think there are people. There is evidence. You don't think it's weird that Bobby Kennedy was killed and Martin Luther King, like all these guys were just getting killed? You think it was weird that Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald?
Let Sean finish.
But no, what you can say is you can put, like, I think what happens is these government agencies, they know about this activity going on, and they're just letting shit happen. So basically what's happening is, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, it is just as bad.
He was a lone gunman. I think he was touting all over town that this is what he was going to do. I think FBI found out NCIA, and they didn't do shit about it.
Yeah. And you're probably right.
There was an element in the government that wanted this guy.
We agree.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
We agree.
It's so funny.
The legacy of the Irish.
At the end of this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Over the years, what happened was everything got so muddled up. And I think, just like when it comes to the UFO thing, what happens is they purposely introduce batshit theories so the real ones just kind of lie under it. And
yeah, that's what we're saying.
Tim, he did read a book on it.
I'm shocked.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of shocked.
I read a bunch of books on it.
Coloring books.
The seat was 6 inches higher than the first seat. That gets rid of the magic bullet theory, right?
Right. That's what I just said.
And I think they...
What you could argue is that, they purposely just left that out there because then you would think the whole thing was bunk and you wouldn't even investigate and you're going to think... Oh, everybody's crazy if they're thinking there was more of a...
Yeah, no, I've never said that Oswald didn't do it or he didn't fire the shot. To me, it's a situation where I feel that, like everything that the government does, there's probably a vested interest in keeping information from the people, you know? And I don't know what form or shape that takes, but I do know there have been a lot of books written on Kennedy that come to the conclusion that, you know, there was probably more to it. And some of those books are credible. Some of them aren't. But, like, there's an entire cottage industry of people that have done independent investigations. And just like I said to Ari, I was like, if right after Abu Ghraib, if you came out and said, no, this is a government-sponsored torture program that's happening all over the world in underground prisons, people would say you're nuts. Fast forward 10 years, we all know that that's a fact. So I just feel
–
yes.
Trust.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm trusting my government. I think what happened was one thing I found really interesting about at the time when I was reading about this stuff, I always thought like the interest of the conspiracy came when JFK the movie came out. But what I found out was like 60% of Americans thought there was a conspiracy immediately.
Right. Well, Oswald.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's true. Oswald was shot immediately. That is great. Like the idea that Oswald
that they
was shot
Oswald. Anytime they don't let somebody talk.
I read a lot about
Good job,
Snitch Jermaine. Anytime they don't let somebody talk, or like the murderer, they don't let the murderer speak, I'm always like, oh, come on. I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, you always want that.
Right.
And so when they shot him, Jack Ruby shot him, and then Jack Ruby gets killed, and it's like, all right.
Look, Gary Oldman was probably a better Lee Harvey Oswald than Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, absolutely.
But anyway, dude, I'm gonna.
Thank you for calling in. I apologize for saying that you hadn't read a book about it.
You couldn't have been more wrong about it. You could not have been wrong. He has read a book. He did know who that guy was.
I'm sorry I called you a blowhard.
No, you were absolutely right to call him a blowhard because he was being a blowhard.
Yeah, he's,
well, no.
He's
should hard. Dan completely misconstrued your. Oh, he said you were an expert and you believed that it was
fucking Chris Christie School of Comedy over here.
Yeah, okay. Dan St. Germain would have shot Kennedy for a part in a web series. By the way.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
He knew more than I thought.
For sure.
He knew more than I thought.
Yeah.
But he believed the same thing again. To characterize his position.
The
government had no involvement.
Our three relationships.
Yeah.
Is that Tim, like, once we're done with this, Tim is going to go, fuck Sean. Then Sean's in a text and he go, fuck Tim. And then when Sean and Tim are going to see each other, they go, fuck Dan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the real conspiracy.
Do you guys get, like, invested in one side of a conspiracy theory when you hear one that you're like, I want to believe that. I've decided I'm believing that. And people who don't.
I don't anymore.
I used to.
Really?
I used to.
Give a shit.
No sense of pride attached to.
No,
really?
There's one thing I do get mad about people. That's why,
I don't
and
have
I'm glad
much pride in general.
I'm glad Sean read because like sometimes people will start talking about something. I'd be like, I don't feel like they know as much about it as they think they know about it.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't have any investment in anything. Listen, I would like to believe that the government isn't testing drugs on people, assassinating it would be nice to not. I don't want to believe any of that. I don't want to believe that Tuskegee. Like I don't want to look Black Wall Street and see this community of upwardly mobile Black people is just destroyed by our government. Like I don't want to believe any of that, but it's true. I don't want to look at the private prison system and criminal justice and be like, you know, at the end of the day, like fucking, you know, we have. You know, judges with a financial incentive to just fucking house nonviolent drug offenders and ruin their lives.
Dude who just got 40 years, the judge who got 40 years.
Yeah,
judge
for got 40 selling years. Kids to prison.
Selling kids to prison.
Straight selling. Prison
selling them.
I mean, giving like something like a petty theft getting 3 years in prison.
Ruining
Please
Google it because I don't know the specific term, but it's like outrageous, the terms. Here, I'll read them to
they
you.
They were so bad and so egregious, it was ruining people's lives. And at the end of the day, it's like... you know, that's a guy where you're like, this guy's like an evil person.
Yeah, like he doesn't even care.
He's an evil person.
I wonder if
person.
He gets to the point in his head where he goes, they're all fucking guilty. When they come in, I know they're all fucking, I know what they've done. I don't send up anyone who hasn't done
it. I think this party probably tries to justify it in his own head, even though it's all about fucking money and it's horrible. But he's probably trying to say that like, yeah, these kids will learn. This will, you know. But he's just ruining people's lives. He's saddling them with these, you know, felonies. He can't get a job. You're just the mental and psychological burden and strain of being in a fucking prison for 3 years when you did nothing wrong.
3 years. It sounds like nothing because it's in prison terms. But 3 years of your life to have no freedom is a huge percentage of your life.
It's huge, dude. And it's like – and so then you just look at like, oh, my God, this guy's evil and we should kill him. It shouldn't be 40 years. He should like get the death penalty.
Let's get rid of him.
This guy's an evil guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He not only sent these people to jail when they shouldn't have, he has now, because it's come out,
10%.
Made everyone wonder, like, is the justice system at all real? It makes people question everything.
Yeah, it makes them question everything, and they should question it, because then you start to find out, like, the racial disparities are
This judge was paid a 10% of construction costs. Or
10% of what? Construction costs?
Of the prison. So the prison, he would get 10% of the construction costs. So he got $2.10 million. He was a... It's insane, man. It's like this story is absolutely insane. You know, like, you know, 12-year-olds getting sent to jail and shit like that.
It's crazy.
I'm sorry, like 14.
Try as
adults.
That's
okay. 14. Listen, I mean, come on.
Nuts.
We've all
that's
seen a few 14-year-olds.
That's a ninth grader.
I know. I'm kidding with you. Listen, this is bad, and this nobody's saying this is a conspiracy. It's fucking real.
Hey, what do you think about chemtrails?
Fake.
Yeah, I think so, too. They're
yeah, fake. I think it's totally fake.
How can
fake.
How can sometimes there just be some that you're like, oh, come on, don't be ridiculous.
It's just so stupid. Because here's the deal. This is why I don't really believe in all these false flags. It's like, here's the deal. If you believe in chemtrails and you believe in all these false flags, you believe that we have like a liberty-minded populist. It's like, don't take away my rights. And like that we have to keep fooling and terrifying people. And it's like, no, people will watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians on their own. They don't care about their rights. They really don't.
I think the more
you don't
more,
need to keep yeah, fooling
them. I think the more the government's lied to us and then when it's been found out and they like there's no huge blowback, I think now they're like, oh, let's just why even lie?
Yeah, people are nobody fat, dumb, and happy. People don't really give a shit. You don't have to fool them into giving up their rights. They'll give them up gladly. Yeah. And so I don't think you need Stephen Paddock to kill 60 people. You just don't. And you know, I don't think you need chemtrails to poison people or whatever. There's enough poison in fucking cereal.
We've obviously both then been to the Dead Crow Comedy Club. Have you been to that?
It's great.
I've never been there. I've heard it's good.
It's really fun. But there's this there's this place called the Napergazzi has a great bit on it, but it's the Serpentarium. It's a zoo, but just
that zoo
poisonous
is
thing.
There.
But right in the beginning, there's a whole exhibit on chemtrails because the guy
is
obsessed with chemtrails.
Now listen to this. He killed his wife, and he's in jail now.
No way.
They took down all the conspiracy stuff.
Really?
The thing is, actually,
maybe
his wife killed him. Somebody.
He got too close to the truth.
Maybe his wife killed him. But
his wife killed him.
Is it great? There's like all these guys, they sometimes have tragic deaths. That's how you don't want to get too close, because a lot of them have tragic deaths that sometimes don't even have anything to do with the conspiracy. For instance, like Gray State, there's a documentary that's about now called Gray State, where it's a guy who's like an Alex Jones type guy who made this huge, like, big movie that he was trying to make, like, you know, the Independence Day for the right, you know, about how Obama's taking control and all this shit. Like, he murdered his, like, wife in a murder-suicide, his kid, and, like, like, that guy died that way. And then, like the fucking... The dude from the guy who I was talking about with the CIA crack guy, that journalist.
Gary Webb killed himself because he, you know, a lot of these guys.
Shot himself twice in the face.
Listen, man,
do you think that's like, did not shoot himself?
I think he did shoot
himself. No, I think he shot, but I think it's because like the CIA, and again, I think it's like when you go to war with the government,
they'll use stuff against you?
Yeah, you're going to lose. If you go to war with this government, you're going to lose. You'll end up penniless. You'll end up – I mean, John Kiriakou was a torture whistleblower. I had him on my podcast. He spent a couple of years in jail, but now he's broke, you know, because Thomas Drake, NSA whistleblower. Like anybody who blows a whistle on the government, they're going to go to war with you.
Fuck you.
They're going to lose. Edward Snowden's living in fucking Moscow. Like you don't win, you're going to die destitute and broke, or you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. What about flat earthers? What do you guys think about that?
I mean, those are insane people.
Those are insane people.
How is it that you can just tell right away when people are like, what? You're out of your mind. And I haven't really, I honestly have done no research on whether the earth is flat or round. I just know what I was taught when I was little.
Yeah, I was like, but you didn't fall off the face of the earth when you sailed.
They cover that. I know they cover that somehow. How you don't fall off the earth with gravity. I don't know what they say, but
I mean, here's the deal. If every single scientist in the world...
9/11 is a hologram, it's probably the craziest.
9/11 is a hologram.
Yeah, there were no planes.
There were no planes.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a
new
theory.
There's two Melania Trumps.
I'll say on stage sometimes where I'm like, oh, I don't think it was... I go one step further. I don't think there wasn't Twin Towers. That was just something that was made up.
That's
kind
of the hologram thing.
Really?
But you know, the one that I thought was really dumb,
yeah,
that's actually now seems kind of... like not as dumb is that Hitler escaped. I thought, oh, that's crazy. And then they researched the skull they found, and it was a woman's skull. It wasn't Hitler's skull. And then, you know, there's plenty of people in Argentina who are like, yeah, I served him coffee when he got here.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, he was a great tipper, good guy.
Yeah,
you know?
like he's just kind of quiet.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's like maybe true.
Because a lot of Nazis
the stories are like, oh, he was quiet.
Yeah, a lot of them did escape to Argentina. So, you know, but then you think about how do you fucking keep that quiet?
How do you keep
how
it quiet?
Back then,
quiet.
You could have kept it quiet.
Probably, right?
Nobody gave a shit about the Holocaust until the 70s.
Or they might have known, but then it's like, 60s. I don't know, he just comes into my
popular
place.
Culture.
Yeah.
That guy, I could see that one being true.
Because Hitler
crazy.
Had, I mean, there's no, I mean.
He had secret, they found a secret tunnel because it became a.
And killed himself and then burnt up so you couldn't even tell what the body is.
And,
that one.
And they found a secret tunnel underneath.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's become a tourist site. So they're like, yeah, he could have gotten away.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
That's
like,
one
Ava,
of those
hey,
things.
I hope
yeah.
Hey, Ava, boom. Okay, yeah. I'm gone. I'm going to find a fucking South American wife.
Wow. Yeah.
So you never know.
Shit, that mustache is unrecognizable. That's the Superman glasses.
That's also the smartest thing. When we have a ridiculous mustache, the only time someone's going to notice me is if I'm wearing this ridiculous mustache.
Like, that guy looks like Hitler. He's clean shaven. That's not Hitler.
He's actually opening for my album recording. Yeah.
Oh, really, Hiller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does improv though.
Did you see that? Which movie show was that where they had like an old Hitler? Hitler Today dating somebody. Oh, what fucking show is
that? Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The one Jay Baruchel show.
Yeah, yeah. What show was that?
Where his ex-girlfriend actually dates man meets woman or like, no.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they're just dating Hitler. Really, like, who's your new boyfriend? It's like Hitler. Like,
it would be
what?
Insane.
Yeah, cooler than you.
It would be insane if Hitler came back to do like an interview, but he's not. Couldn't still be alive, could he?
He could be, but he'd be quite
old. He gets employed by Breitbart. No, he'd be, he does a podcast.
He could be like 100, 107.
No, he wouldn't be alive.
No, I don't think he'd be. I don't think he'd be alive.
Imagine that, Hitler, but also the healthiest guy in the world. You know,
Hitler's got the good AIDS.
Hitler lives forever.
Every time people, there's a surprising number of Holocaust survivors who have lived to 100. Like, it's shockingly
really?
High. Yeah. And so
they've
then,
been through that shit.
Yeah. But it's like, how? And I think it just shows the benefit of even short term being on a diet with low trans fats.
Yeah.
That's a great, that's like a great late night joke, too. All right, guys, we got a great set. Goo Goo Dolls are going to be here.
Yeah. What are your guys' favorite conspiracy theories?
The one that brought us together, which is not really a conspiracy.
And it's also not our favorite.
It's not our favorite. Was one called, this guy, Johnny Gosch, was kidnapped. He was a paper boy
in
Iowa.
If you want to see, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's called
Johnny.
Who Took Johnny. And Dan showed it to me.
Oh, we got
to
talk about that mafia guy, too, later.
It changed your life.
He changed my life. I've done like 3 episodes on the podcast. I interviewed this kid's mother.
Really?
And it is now my belief that he was kidnapped by a group of people that sold him into some type of sex slavery. I believe that. That being said... when Dan showed me that documentary, I had no idea about any of this. It was such a beautiful spring day in the East Village. People were like,
yeah, but you wanted to go to this documentary.
No, I know, but you had said to me, oh, I gotta watch this. And then I remember just, there's a part in the documentary, I don't want to ruin it, but it's so like harrowing that I jumped out of my seat and I was just like, what's going on?
Really?
You know, it is a crazy documentary, and I did a crazy episode on my podcast about it. But that it was just, again, so that pedophile cult that brought us together.
Tim and I have had a very like, because when Tim, you know, now Tim's fucking headlining everywhere. He's terrific, but he came to me.
I opened for Dan. Yeah,
yeah, he opened for me at the Comedy Attic.
It's first
Tim,
time
Tim
I opened
has a 15-minute special on Netflix that's out now, probably.
Oh, maybe, and it's not going to be out till the fall. But I think by the time this is out, where I won't get in trouble.
Then you'll be able to announce it.
Yeah,
by that point, Tim. Yeah. Be disgraced. He'll be disgraced.
Yeah, he goes, hey, have you been telling people about the...
He got me in trouble.
The thing, I'm like, yeah, I mean, everybody, whenever it comes up, the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Whenever that comes up, I say,
my agent called me screaming. Yeah. She's like, agents know, because he tells his agent,
nobody
his manager.
Gives a shit.
Yeah. I know, but I got
she's trying to book her clients, so I'm like, yeah.
One of the funniest things was like the year I did Montreal.
Oh, Montreal, Jesus. They're the worst of that conspiracy theory.
Anthony Jeselnik, like it was like me, Nick Turner, a bunch of people just did 5 minutes before, and then Anthony Jeselnik got up, grabbed the microphone, and goes, they're all doing Montreal. And then,
that's so funny.
But yeah, Tim and I, the first time, we didn't really know each other that well, but that weekend, I guess like I was taking naps before my sets. And so I was at the time when I was happening, which I didn't realize what was going on. It just happened the other night. I realized why I was sleepwalking and shaking. Shit.
What?
I was like sleepwalking. Well, you tell
the
story.
I woke up in the middle of the night. This is the middle of the night.
No, this is the afternoon. Before
oh, was it? Okay.
Right, you're sharing a room?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we took a nap.
Where is it?
In Bloomington.
Bloomington,
the comedy
Indiana.
Attic.
We're
great
sharing a room. I woke up and he was like shaking me. Like he like had the like my shirt. He's like shaking me. And I out of a dead sleep, waking up, somebody shaking. He was terrifying. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And then he woke up from like a trance. And I'm like, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, what was I doing? I'm like, I think you were trying to kill me. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he goes like this. He's like, there's a real darkness in me. And then went in the bathroom and shut the door.
Say that.
Yes, he did. And I was like, this is out of control.
Wow.
Night
joking.
Terror. He was just trying to kill me. He was
choking
me.
They used a deposition to kill a fucking drifter.
Yeah, he was trying to kill me in the middle of the night.
Really? I was joking when I said the darkness.
Oh, well, that was hilarious. Yeah. It was a lot less funny after you tried to kill me.
I got my friend Kleins.com on that once. We were roommates in Israel, and I talk in my sleep. I've been known to.
People tell
me like pretty like clear.
Yeah.
So I heard him fumbling with the door. I had just gone to sleep. I heard him fumbling with the lock.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. So I was in bed, and then he was like, quietly trying to put his stuff away. I was like, and then I waited a little while. I was like, fuck, Chaim, I'm going to fucking stab him. I'm going to fucking stab that motherfucker. I just kept doing that for like a minute. And I was like, raise your hand if I got you. If I got you, raise your hand. Raise your hand if I got you. And then I just opened my eyes. I'm like, raise your hand if I got you. And he was like, oh, fuck. He was just like,
oh, like that's so funny. Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. That was the same. We got into a fight about teachers' salaries, and then
yeah,
like, it was well, a, they it was should a be weird. Higher. Well, I think they should, and Tim was like, they shouldn't.
They're very high. They're very high.
How much are they now? How much do they get?
It depends on the tax base of the area, but teachers are making a good living.
What does that mean?
I mean,
compared to the education level of the students, which
I mean,
is...
This is the kind of stuff which is, you know, we disagree on, but...
Right, because, you know, I think that, for the most part, teachers are doing well.
If you got paid more, they get better people.
Potentially, but I don't know that the teachers are the problem. I think there's a lot to be said for the parents in the community.
Yeah,
and I
sure.
think teachers will tell you that.
So you think we should pay the community more?
No.
The parents
more? I think you should institute, you know, some type of policy that rewards, you know, people. That's the other thing with teachers. If you're teaching an amazing class, you get the same as if your class is failing.
Yeah.
That never made sense to me. I'm like, why shouldn't there be some merit-based, incentive-based system for people in education?
What do you mean?
Meaning if your class is doing great and you're coming in...
They do that and they fake the grades so they can get more funding.
Well, I mean, yeah. Listen...
They fix the test scores or they give them the fucking...
I think the way we learn has to change. It's a bigger...
We got to kill the kids.
We got to kill the kids. Sell them to the Belgian monster.
They're doing nothing.
Who's that mafia guy you said? You said we got to talk about the mafia guy? What mafia guy?
Oh, who's buried under...
Iceman. Right?
No, the one who's buried under the fucking end zone.
Jimmy Hoffa. Oh, where is he buried?
They said in Meadowlands. He's better in the Giants touchdown.
That's what I heard. Yeah, he's better in Meadowlands. But Racine knows all about that shit. Mike Racine.
Of course he would. He probably knows
fucking,
them all.
That little fucking
That's
Dago.
That's interesting.
Oh, he's the only one who wears like outfits on stage on like Conan and shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like looks like a costume. But he's like, no, I just wanted to look nice.
Yeah.
Like, that tracksuit is for like legit.
Yeah. That's his thing.
And then there was another, like the other trip when
a leather Adidas tracksuit.
Tim opened for me was at the American Comedy Festival Comedy Club in San Diego.
Yeah.
It was like during a relapse. And he actually almost saved me from dying. So
yeah. Well, I didn't have to.
He knows more of the story. I don't really
Dan had said, my old running buddy Dietz is coming.
Let's plug his name out.
Okay. Well, I had immediately said, that's a good idea, huh? And then, you know, it was a wild weekend. Some of the shows are good. Some of the shows you're bombing, but it's Halloween weekend, so you're bombing in front of people that are dressed up like Mario.
Well, Friday and Saturdays were great. Sunday and Thursday.
It's tough to bomb in front of somebody dressed like a clown and say, this is rough. We judged a costume contest, but like the last
great
night,
club, by the way.
The last night, Dan was just walked. I was like waiting up for him. I'm like, I hope he comes home. And he walked in and he was like all like, you know, coked out, but he had flowers. And he looked at me and he's like, you want these? And I was like, no. And then he put them down and went into the bathroom. And I'm like, this was terrifying. It was the most. There's nothing more terrifying than watching somebody walk into a hotel room at 5 a.m. with flowers. Like, nothing. Like,
that's crazy. Where'd you get them from?
Crazy.
I think, like, I had thoughts. That was the same night. Ari, I think in the beginning on your show, that this is not happening show, in the beginning when I talked about when I was talking about, you know, when I paid $1,500 for one night for a prostitute to just hold her hand. That was the same night. Yeah. I couldn't get it up, so I just held this girl. Well, actually, that's the second time that's happened to me. And then it was a real rough time.
After you pay for it. It's like,
it was awful. Yeah. And then, like, I bought a 12-pack from a grocery store, and I thought the way that I was going to look upstanding and not just like a scumbag buying beer at 6 in the morning was to also get a bouquet of flowers. So I got a bouquet. And then
so it was a cover-up flowers?
It was cover-up flowers.
The false flag flowers?
False flag flowers.
Yeah, and he walked in and with the flowers, and I was just like, man, this is a real...
And then we watched The Last Exorcism when I woke up.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. You know, it all worked out in the end. That's what matters.
That Bloomington, that Comedy Attic's pretty good, right?
Great
club.
Yeah,
this is America's. Yeah. Both are great clubs.
Yeah. I just can't. That guy doesn't pay people so much. It's so annoying.
Who?
The American Comedy Company.
Oh, I don't know.
He's got so many problems with that.
American or Comedy Attic?
No, American Comedy Company.
Oh, American paid me all right when I was there, but
I'm a lower rate bonuses and fucking not paying people for the in-town shows because I'm an LA comic for the longest time. So people go down there just for one day, and he was like, all right, here's... It's like, what? We agreed to more. Or like, what do you mean it's full?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did. When I was there, I did a weekend. I was all right. But, you know, everybody's experience is different.
Why are they so fun, conspiracy theories?
It's fun to be in on something that you don't feel like everyone else knows about.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's fun to find somebody that wants to talk about something with you.
Because only you know, so it makes it more interesting. Because everyone knows
club.
And it's less
it's
than
a
you lose
club.
Your...
And it's also like...
It's like liking Alanis Morissette early on.
You get excited because I feel like it has some of the... I think a lot of people liked Alanis.
I think the...
I mean, I liked her after the first song.
Yeah. I think that it's just people feel like... Some guy had a good point.
What?
Conspiracy theories have the profundity of theology. It feels like you're getting religious truth. When you start to figure this shit out, you start to feel like you're putting stuff together on a higher level than you actually are. And there's a certain adrenaline rush and a euphoria to that. Like, oh, my God, this is the truth. This is it. We're right. Yeah. And it's like, that's something cool.
You know, I think that also there's something comforting in, you know, if you believe in a great evil, then maybe there's a great God out there that'll help save you. You know, like
if you believe in a great evil, then
maybe there's a heaven out there that'll save you. You know, instead of the more disturbing fact is that we are all alone and there is chaos. But I'm not sure, man. I mean, I sort of felt, you know, like something got me through my last ditch. So maybe there is something bigger out there that can help you through.
What's it? God?
I don't know, man. I don't want to go that crazy. But, you know, I don't know. But
do you go higher power when you go to AA?
I didn't. I think this time around, you know, maybe.
You're going to? Can it be me?
What?
Can it be me?
Sure. Yeah. Can you get me a Netflix special? Then you'll be my higher power.
I thought I would be. I think it's funny, too, when conspiracy theories, people believe them so much that it's like, it's almost like, well, why aren't you willing to do something about it? So that Pizzagate thing was the funniest one to me.
Yeah, the guy was in with a gun.
Yeah, because the whole thing was just misinterpreted emails. They said, like, pizza party must mean child sex. When that was the big jump.
It's right, like, it was really,
pizza does mean children, then okay, this does stuff.
Can I get a calzone with child cum?
Yeah, but this one guy was like, wait, if that's where it is, and it's at this pizza shop, and no one's doing anything, I'm not going to let these kids be sex slaves.
Yeah.
And he went in there with a fucking gun. He was like, open the fucking basement. We're freeing these kids. And like, there's no kids here. That guy was hilarious. Who was that?
I don't know.
Some guy with a gun.
He realized, like, it's funny because
he has a show on the Compound Media Network right now. with Dylan Roof.
As soon as Dylan Roof with his weird mushroom cut. Dylan Roof
Subscribe.
Actually had the same haircut that me and Tim did when he was a little kid. But yeah, it is funny that when they arrested that guy right afterwards, he goes, yeah, I realize I was probably dumb. Like, he not Dylan Roof. He was a monster. Yeah. Pizza kid guy. I was probably a pretty fucking dumb.
So if you talk to the conspiracy guys, they're like, he was put up to it, MK Ultra, mind control. Oh, you know, right. They're trying
and you know, with MK Ultra, there was plenty of, they were trying to fucking do that forever. So
they were.
Like,
so it's like, who knows?
They want to believe in everything. That's the thing. They want to believe in stuff. So it's ghosts, aliens, government.
It's the same reason, like, when people get successful in the entertainment business, they're like, you know, Amy Schumer is related to Chuck Schumer. I'm like, oh, yeah, that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah. That is zero to do.
What's more relation is Chelsea Peretti's brother runs Huffington Post, and they were write positive articles about her
in
an influential magazine, which got her like this hype to be like, oh, she's like one of the better ones.
Everybody tries to make these connections, but it's like at the end of the day, it's like there's a lot of randomness in the world. There's a lot of randomness in this business.
Absolutely.
And there's just there is luck. There is fucking, you know, stuff that you don't really – you know, figure on until it happens.
Just do right by people.
Do right by people.
I mean, I guess so. You could do that, or you could just go wrong on people.
Either way, but you got to commit to one.
As we just said on like at the beginning of an action movie commercial.
Yeah.
Or do wrong by people.
Yeah.
That's true.
Some light piano playing.
Cobra Jew.
here's one I thought of. I don't know if it's true or not, but remember the TSA shooter? In LAX?
Yeah, vaguely.
Kind of, not a lot.
He went into LAX, and then they were like, sir, we have to check your bag. He goes, oh, I'll open it for you. You don't have to worry about it. And just started shooting TSA people.
Yeah.
And then he was like, people were counting. He goes, you TSA? And people were like, no. He's like, get the fuck out of here. And he goes, you TSA? Yeah. And they would shoot them. He would only target TSA people. I don't think he's ever went on trial.
Really?
And I think the thing might have been made up.
Now what? To get sympathy for the TSA?
Yeah. So they can get more funding and they can eventually start to have guns. Every time someone attacks the TSA, it's like, what do they have to gain out of it? It's like, they want guns. They want to have guns. Which will have
but
more
the TSA
control.
Also sucks.
Motherfuckers with guns.
It might have been just a guy who's had it.
Exactly. It might have been. But it's like, where's the record of him? I looked later. I asked John Doerr about it, but he didn't respond. But like, where's the record of this court
John
trial?
Doerr's in on it.
Because I want to go. Not John Doerr. Not John. Jimmy Doerr.
Yeah. Jimmy Doerr's in on it.
I want to find out. But every time I find out, they're like, oh, his trial was delayed. But then they don't really ever have anything on him or really any good pictures or anybody.
Jeez, we should get him on the podcast.
We really should. I wanted to go down and like see what his LAX.
see what his story was, but it's nothing's ever come up. 2013. Okay. So in Wikipedia, it should have the fucking suspect, aftermath, immediate reaction, nothing.
What does it say about the suspect?
Victim. Paul Anthony Ciancia, age 23.
He's still suspect. In jail?
Unemployed car mechanic. On the day of the shooting, he burst into an unidentified roommate.
Wasn't and killed.
To drive him to the airport. Was not killed. Arrested.
And no trial.
Charges of prosecution. Okay. Nothing. Wait.
Can we get a Google image? Of his
no, here we are. In January 15th, they would seek the death penalty against him. In September 6th, 2016, about a year ago, Ciancia pled guilty in exchange for a life sentence. November 7th, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, plus 60 years.
There it is.
No, I think it's probably
so yeah. Where is he then?
Would we have a picture?
He's in jail. What do you mean, where is he?
Where? I want to go talk to him in jail. Can
well,
I do that?
Now we're getting... Now this is...
I mean, I'm sure...
Can I talk to him?
This is what conspiracy theorists do. They go like this. They're like, wait a minute. I got to see this guy.
But there's no pictures of him.
That is where... Listen, no pictures is odd.
No pictures.
Do they just end face-to-face interviews?
I don't know.
Can I not interview somebody in prison?
I mean, the certain people, like Boston bombing suspects, were kept under lock and key. They couldn't... The press couldn't even go there. Nobody could go.
Have they already been sentenced to death, those guys?
Yeah, the little guy. One of them's dead.
I'm looking up articles. I'm going to try to interview this guy.
The little guy's dead?
No, the big guy's dead. Tamerlan, the other one, Zokar, was sentenced to death. But he's an ADX. He's in a flow, you know.
Isn't it supposed to be you're supposed
ADX
to be able to...
ADX is a big one, man.
Yeah.
Supposed to be able to look where they are and be able to find out what prison anyone's in?
Yeah, but did he even go into prison yet? Or he might... You know, I don't know. That might be...
It was a year ago, man.
Yeah, this shit takes forever. Dude.
It's a year ago he pled guilty to life sentence.
Well, no, he could be in one facility and then
they're
waiting.
Yeah, they're going to transfer him.
It's so fucking, you know, and there's all these like, you know, like they have like special prisons for like child molesters. They have special prisons.
Yeah, but can't you find all this stuff out?
I agree with
you. How do you find out where it is?
I agree with you.
How the fuck do you find out where it is?
I don't know. Maybe Comedy Bureau?
Maybe Comedy Bureau.
Well,
are there any, you guys have conspiracy theories that you like want to be true that no one's really honed in on yet?
No, I don't know. Do you?
Not really. I mean, I really wish that, you know, I used to have like want, you know, like when I was a kid, I used to want to be like, you know, Fox Mulder or something. But now,
yeah, I would love, I would like if they were like, I would think it'd be great. If they were
I just want, yeah, but like good aliens. Now I just want a happy ending, you know.
I used to think like when you start comedy, you don't get certain things, and you think that like people are against you.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize,
oh, I've just sucked.
No one yet. Yeah, not only that, but no one cares.
No one cares.
Whenever, and that's scarier than that. There's a, you know,
that's a lot of it too. It's like, yeah, who's holding me? Who's holding me back? It's like nobody. Just didn't pass through. You're
yeah,
one of the
yeah.
Crack fillers.
It's, you know, and there is an element of comedy where it's a meritocracy, but there's also like, you know, I think I got way more shit and way more heat a couple years ago, and I'm a better stand up now, and it's just
exactly
it's just like one
happens.
Of those things where it goes up and down,
and they don't realize you get better, so they just go like, yeah, we tried with him, he just wasn't there, so we don't know what his deal is, and everyone's constantly improving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I just don't get that.
That was one of those things.
That's what I noticed about getting past the comedy store. It was like a big deal for everyone in LA, and so the door guys would try to get past, and it would be so frustrating because you're like, all these other regulars, these bigger comics, they look down on me because I'm not a paid regular. And then you realize later, like, oh, no, they just look at their spot in the lineup, who's in front of them.
That's all they care about.
And then they don't look at all who's after them because it's like, you're after me. I don't care. Yeah,
I've been in development there for like 2 years with a bunch
really?
Yeah, with like waiters and...
There's no room anymore to get in. I could not get in now if I were trying to get in now.
Really?
I don't think so. Maybe now.
I think that like...
But not 2 years ago.
Like, but here's the benefit of that is like when I do get a spot, it's either at 8 or 10. Like, I don't have to wait till 1:30 a.m. and I have a ready job, so I'll pay $10 for parking just so I can do my early spot.
Well, we had a lot of comics. We did employee spots, which were Sunday, and then went to Monday also, and then went to at some point Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Yeah. You do 3 minutes, but you could bleed to 5 to 10 real easily.
Right.
And then when you got past, you couldn't do those employee spots anymore, and you would go at like 1:30 on a Wednesday night, and you're like, I don't want this.
Right, it's like, just I'm like I'd rather do. I'd rather, you know, you just get smarter because it's like that whole thing too. When you're younger, comedy, like you think like, oh, I've got to get up 4 times a night to be funny, and and then you realize, you do need that in the beginning, and then anyway, now it's just becoming everybody's process podcast. But like, you know, like fine. Yeah, but yeah, it is. But you know, I mean, it's fucking, it's comedy's hard. I think that that's it. It's like, there shouldn't be that many spots for people because nobody, like, and now it's
that's
like,
why a lot of times women think, I've seen this, and some minorities too. A lot of minority comics banded together against Tommy, the old talent coordinator of the Comedy Store.
No, that's right.
And they were like, he's racist, he won't pass us. And all those comics were legitimately terrible comics. They weren't doing anything.
Wasn't Tommy legitimately racist?
He was. There was that too. But he also gave plenty of spots to Owen Smith and Ian Edwards and like other black comics, Byron Bowers. Like he was giving spots to like, so like they're even solipsistic about it where they're thinking of just them in a vacuum. Like, how come I'm not getting up?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be some conspiracy.
Well, there are people that
without willing to look outside and be like, no, there's plenty of black comics.
There are little people, people go, you know, Louis's actions were inappropriate and deplorable, but there are people that are writing articles or saying things like, my career isn't somewhere because he had a like.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, this is a perversion of fucking. If you're concerned about victims, don't fucking
put yourself into it. Ever.
Don't put yourself into that. And the reason that you're not on fucking HBO is not fucking Louis being a fucking pervert.
Do,
Yeah.
People make excuses. I mean, comedy is one of those things too, where it's like, you know, it's a luxury business. So it's like, you know, if I will never like, I'll never. I'm never gonna feel sorry for any of my friends who are like, oh, I can't make it work because I'm like, well, yeah, well, we just. I feel bad for a guy who gets his pension wiped out by a fucking, you know, faceless corporation, or something. But I really don't feel bad. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's just not a merit. Are you working hard? It's just one of those things where it's
yeah,
like,
it's not a merit. It's not like I'm better than you. I should get more. It's
and
like,
no. I'm talking about white guys, like white straight guys. Like I
even that.
White straight guys are like, oh, all these fucking women and minorities are taking my spots. Just like I sometimes do.
What about
get
Chris
a little,
D'Elia?
Yeah.
He's also getting your shit.
Right, yeah. And I'm just like sometimes I get annoyed when they're like, oh, it's because you're a white man. It's like on both sides I can get annoyed sometimes. I'm just like, dude, it's hard for everybody. It's
pretty
much
you have to kill all the time or some people might get ahead before they do that, but really they shouldn't be. So you're comparing yourself to the worst people.
Yeah.
Like, how come that like terrible comic got ahead? And you're like, yeah, but you're saying it's a terrible comic.
Yeah.
Compare yourself to the better comics who are also not doing well.
Right, right.
No one ever does that.
It's difficult.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, when people see it in some sort of vacuum. So a lot of times women will be like, it's hard for me because of this and this. And you're like, oh, no, that's hard for everyone because of that. It's just hard.
Yeah.
It's not because of your gender group or
well, that's
whatever.
The whole thing
it's
is
just
like
hard.
All these people that are like, you two, you know, these guys, I'm from Long Island, so all these like Long Island comics who do comedy.
They're fucking fedoras.
Sporadically, you know, fucking six times in a year. They all go audition for America's Got Talent.
Right.
Because they look at life like a scratch off. You know what I mean?
I could hit it big.
You're like, I could just roll the dice and fucking fit, you know?
Yeah.
And a friend of mine made a great point. He's like, he goes, it's a lottery if you devote your life to it. You know, like if you're great at it, there are still things out of your control.
Nick Faldo said that. He said he's hitting some lucky shots. He's a great golfer.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I guess so. But it just seems like the more I practice, the luckier I keep getting.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you get better and better. And then hopefully you're in the right headspace and good things happen.
Yeah. What
or it's the Jews' fault because that would be the conspiracy.
I want to say though, there's a conspiracy that I'm not a megastar in comedy. I want to start that now. And
that you're what?
That I'm not a megastar in comedy.
I love that.
Say that it's a CIA black ops.
Yeah, operation. It's a black bag job.
Make it about something ridiculous to make it interesting.
Yeah.
I love what that. Else should we talk about with conspiracy theories before we go on? What, you each got a podcast, right? What's yours part of the problem?
Dave Smith. Thank
yours
you.
Is Send Me to Hell.
Tim Dillon is going to hell.
Tim Dillon's going to hell.
On Gas Digital Network.
Let me see if there's any.
Your sister network because we're down the block.
Yeah, not further. Is in the new studio?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's great.
I went Christmas Eve.
You got a podcast too, right?
I don't right now. I probably
I thought you and Mike Lawrence got one started.
Yeah, I did. And I got like. I have like obsessive compulsive disorder. And I was like nervous about shit. I was going through a lot of shit at the time. Okay. That doesn't sound real, but it's true. You know, like anyway.
Yeah.
And I started taking meds for it, and it went a whole relapse thing. Anyway, well, A to C it was a nightmare. But I'll probably have a new wrestling one out where I just talk about wrestling.
Okay. I'll ask you before I release it.
and then also like when this comes out, my album's gonna be out.
Your album,
please.
It's called what?
Please, it's gonna be No Real Winners Here. So
No Real Winners.
Check it out. That's
I'll have a link to it on the website if you go to rthegreat.com.
Watch my Comedy Central half hour, which will be on a Tuesday at 1 a.m. in the spring.
In this next.
This spring.
This coming spring, right,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, coming up soon.
So it's probably already aired, so...
Sorry.
Go to fucking...
Can't get
maybe
it.
Maybe it's in your DVR. Yeah. If you check right now.
TimDillonComedy.com. Maybe I'll put a clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk enough...
About what?
I guess we can talk about the Rothschilds, but like every
yeah,
every,
the Illuminati, shit like that. We should talk about that.
Every anti-Semitic group blames the stuff on the Rothschilds, and the thing is interesting about that.
And
is
only
like,
half of them are right.
Yeah, what about
well,
that?
It's just like one of these things where it's like I think back to Tim saying it's like okay, you had a really successful family, and they're like, hey, let's open up, like let's try to create business in different countries and shit like that. But then the stuff that kind of gets batshit is like, and now we're going to have wars that we're going to like create countries fighting other countries.
Well, war is a business, and they understood that, you know, winning and losing, you can make money. And here's the reality of the situation.
Well, let's not go down that.
Or were they, so now is the leap going, we realize we can make money in this, so let's make money in arms. Or is it then the leap becomes, hey, let's start a war so we can sell our guns. Instead of going, there will be wars.
The leap becomes
come to
that
us.
All Jews do this.
Oh, well,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, that's the big
no,
leap.
No, that's not the
or,
leap.
Or like, I benefit because of the Rothschilds. Where I'm like, they don't help me.
No. The Rothschilds were a family that, you know, this guy had four sons, and, he, you know, they controlled. And by the way, Jewish people were forced into, you know, handling money because people looked at it as, like, an unimportant job. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the reasons that Jewish people were traditionally in that role. And then they're easily scapegoated and stuff like that. But the Rothschilds are a fascinating family that did a lot of weird shit when it came to wars and lying about who won what war. And
what do you mean?
There was a story. I think it was like I'm not exact on this, but it was like France and England basically had a war. I think it was France and England, and the Rothschilds I think spread back when you could do this the information that. France had lost.
Wait, did you hear about this?
That's a conspiracy.
That is a conspiracy. That didn't really happen.
They had spread the information that I think France had lost.
That was deep in Belgium.
That was.
That was like a horn.
Yeah.
Sounds like I'm about to attack Mordor.
It's from the Denver airport.
That's from the Denver airport.
But I think they spread the information that France or England had lost or won the war, and then the Rothschilds then bought up all of the things because I think the because
everyone was like, oh, let's not invest in that. They just lost a war.
Yeah, and then it came out that they'd actually won, so then they owned all this stuff. But I mean, it's stuff like that. It's good business.
Oh, I got one.
This is good business.
William Randolph Hearst with marijuana.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
So from what I heard,
I know that
is
Hearst,
this.
Like, killed off union workers and shit like that.
Is that he had all this money in lumber yards and newspapers.
Yeah.
And he would make lumber for his own newspapers too.
Yeah.
And then they start looking at hemp as a cheaper way to make paper, and he was like, well, let me tie in hemp with marijuana.
Right.
And if I can tie in hemp with marijuana, all I got to do is make marijuana seem like this crazy thing. So he funded that marijuana movie. What was that one called?
Oh, fucking, goddamn. Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. And you see these, like, black men will fuck your white women, and, like, you'll be playing piano manically fast, or you'll eat, like, glass bottles. And then all these people like, well, that seems real. It's a moving image. It must be real. And then his newspaper would put out reports about how terrible it was. And all these congressmen got to the point where it's like, yeah, we got to make this illegal.
Right.
And then even like 60 years later, it was already set in place. Like, I don't know exactly why. I just know it's terrible for you.
Yeah.
And then he was able to keep using his own lumber yards.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Not really a conspiracy because there's one guy doing it, but it's just sort of like
thing. It all comes down to self-interest.
Yeah.
Self-interest.
So that wouldn't make it a conspiracy. We make a conspiracy as if like five or six people were involved separately, all came together and all kept quiet about it.
I mean, I think...
The term conspiracy originated, I think, this is one of the things like the CIA pushed that term out to describe, legitimate inquiries into things that they were doing, overthrowing governments, things like that. And they, then that phrase started to become used more and more and more. But I think a conspiracy just means more than one person
getting together.
That's it.
So here's a great conspiracy we had at the Comedy Store. You had to, a door guy would come up to the cover booth. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
You?
Once.
Yeah, you've been there. So the front cover booth. Door guy comes up and says, these two people would like a whatever. The cover booth guy sells him a ticket, gives the ticket to the door guy. Door guy looks at the ticket, rips it a little bit. Puts it on a table. The waitress takes that ticket and goes in. That ticket says, $40. Two people, $20 each, $40. So if a door guy wanted to steal, a cover booth guy wanted to steal, he could take their $20 or $20 each, $40, ring them up as a comp ticket, like so-and-so put me on the list, and then take their money if they paid cash. But what's stopping that is the door guy, you have to hand him the ticket. So he'd be like, why does this say zero when I saw them pay you $40? It's checks and balances.
Interesting.
But all it took was a door guy to go, hey, just ring this one as
as a comp unless she split the money. And then there was no more checks and balances. That, it was a conspiracy that helped Renazzisi pay for his fucking first mortgage.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there were days where we're like, yeah, all comps. Like 80 people in there, like, yeah, they're all from the hotels nearby. You said to let them in free.
And then all that money.
Right in their pockets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was great because you just need both sides of it. And then
perfect.
No one's all any the wiser. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So now I actually look for ways where employees can steal. Waitresses do it by just charging more than, like, if a Jack and Coke is $11, charge $13. They don't see it on the menu. So it's just like.
Yeah, they just take the extra.
We'll just get extra.
We'll just get extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that harder, though, with electronically paying for something?
Now it is, for sure. But because you're ringing in as whatever, you take the cash. Or you charge them for whatever, and then you just say, here's your final bill, because there's no, like, itemized thing.
Yeah.
And so if it's, like, 43, but you rang in stuff worth 37, you're already up 7.
Oh, shit, I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but what happened was then one waitress, like, as the night would get later, though, they would consolidate. So three waitresses would take the whole place, but less people were there. So now two. One would get cut. And they go, I'd like another Jack and Coke. Like, oh, 11. Like, what do you mean 11? She charged me 13.
Yeah.
Why did it get cheaper? Or vice versa. Like, why did it just get more expensive?
Right.
And then they get found out.
Jack and Daniels went down. the market for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just those little things, man. You can make
it. It's after
make,
midnight. We got a deal.
Make a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Good. Good for them.
I always look for ways to steal.
I think it's great. I respect those people that go out and fucking hustle and try to fucking con somebody out of a few bucks. God bless them. It's what this country's all about.
I've always been gypped. I'm the sucker, man. I'm like an Irish. I will get distracted by the shiny shit. I've never been good at.
Really?
Oh yeah. I'm a fucking
Irish
sucker.
Are horrible with money.
Horrible
all
with
of
money.
Us.
We're always like we're always getting scammed.
We're great storytellers and bullshit artists. Fun hang, mm-hmm. Bad with money.
Bad bad long-term relationships.
You guys are both Irish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. Germain?
And so
Saint,
is Donnelly.
Saint stuff?
Well, I'm so sorry.
Donnelly is, for sure.
Yeah, French. I'm French, too.
Dylan's a French surname, but yeah, I'm all Irish, pretty much. A little German. But.
I'm a white mutt, but the most I am is like from my family from Belfast. And Donnelly is, Donnelly is, like, fucking Irish.
Yeah. What else with conspiracy theories? What did we miss? Wait, the one you just said, the Rothschilds, or the Illuminati. The Illuminati. The Rothschilds.
That kind of all bleeds into the same shit. Like, Illuminati is like all the money imagery and.
Well, a lot of it, it's, you know, goes back to this Enlightenment era where you had scientists and stuff meet and have these secret meetings because the Catholic Church was just murdering people that disagreed with them. And a lot
the skulls.
Of skulls. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff. A lot of these secret societies, man, Skull and Bones, it's just rich people being rich. It's rich people watching each other's ass. I mean,
that's what it is, too, right? Where it's like not a conspiracy, but it's like, oh, that's my buddy's son. Let's make sure he gets out of jail.
Every human beings are.
We're all at the same parties. Like, Bohemian Grove exists. They all like dance around in robes and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't. But it's like most of the people, like, there's people like Alex Jones who are like, they're fucking, oh, they're over there. They're determining where the water supply is. And then there's another guy who goes in there. It's like, yeah, they're over there. But mostly they're just getting fucking drunk and taking their dicks
out. Yeah, and they're deciding like how the world's going to be run to an extent. But who's going to do it? You know what I mean? Like, they own the corporations. They own the,
there
like.
There is an extent. Yeah, like, I mean. The comedy show be run? Well, people been doing comedy for a while. Are gonna
I don't know. What do you got? Are you going to prevent billionaires from hanging out and discussing how to get richer? I mean, that's me and. Like, you could go to a diner and meet and talk to your friends and nothing's going to get done because you all don't have any fucking money. If you all had $1 billion, man, that conversation would mean a lot more.
Yeah, you're right. I saw one of the punks when Ashton Kutcher wasn't doing it anymore, but they were letting a celebrity who got punked punk the next person. And then whoever they punked would punk whatever. So Justin Bieber was punking Taylor Swift. And they were supposed to write music together. And then they come in and I don't know what happened, the home invasion or whatever. But then afterwards, they're like, oh, my God, there's a big reveal. She's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, wait, does this mean we're not going to write together?
Right.
Like at the end? Because then, and it hit me like, wow, these are two really powerful music people.
Yeah.
Coming together to write what's definitely going to be a hit song.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Like the people in power, yeah, when they get together, they're like, yeah, let's do powerful shit. Yeah,
it makes people, I think, feel good to imagine that there's a bunch of guys in a smoke-filled room plotting against them.
That's why I'm not successful.
But yes, that's a huge thing. But the reality is there's a lot of smoke-filled rooms.
Uh-huh.
Some of them don't have smoke in them. There's a lot of wealthy people. There's a lot of powerful people. They all have an interest in preserving their wealth, power, and status in society.
Yeah,
and so also that's now what it's it like you see by Trump, you can really do some egregious shit out in the open. So it's like
is that too? So almost like why would there be?
Come on.
man.
Yeah, why do we have to do a conspiracy
Trump
when you can just do it?
Yeah, I mean, Trump is...
Like, oh, here's another theory that I think is hilarious. It's like HARP. You know, that's that... There is a facility called HARP. They are developing weapons technology with weather. But they're like, oh, what happened in Haiti and what happened in all these places was HARP. And it's like, well, I guess like the scarier answer would just be like... Well, geothermal energy is just going to cause an earthquake, or global warming is going to cause one of these like water rising. Like, that's the scary thing.
It's also like, why are we as a civilization, like, nobody wants to look at the spiritual thing of like, why are we weaponizing weather?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we weaponizing plagues?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's like a spiritual
thing. People want to have a reason for things. Like, I know a lady whose kid died of SIDS.
Yeah.
She said all the other moms were like, well, did you lay her on her back? Or whatever the right way to go is. I forget how you're supposed to lay it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's say it's the back. They're like, well, did you lay on her back? And she's like, yes. But like, I know. I read what you read. I did it right. But none of the other parents wanted to believe that a child could just die.
Yeah.
And theirs didn't. And theirs did.
No, they
just
want to find a reason.
There must be some reason. You must have done something wrong here.
Yeah.
Or there must be some group.
If we do this, then the world won't. And truth is, like, we can't control. We can only control our reaction to it.
Yeah.
I feel like you were just talking to like a big brother, big sister, you know, like you would adopted. You're like,
Illuminati,
we can only control our reaction to it, you know.
Now help me steal from this deli.
Now stand guard while I take this fucking. What do you think? What do you think? There's cigarettes being thrown.
I mean, I want to catch them. Once they throw it out, I've seen one fall and then I run out there, but the window's already closed.
And what are you gonna do?
Find out where it is and then talk to them directly, because I have three floors of people that it could be anyone. So really, I'm like. This might not be. I want to know who it is.
Interesting.
But like, I just gotta have a talk with them. I really just gotta go door to door.
Just go straight to them.
The note. I don't like the idea. There's no way to make a note not sound passive aggressive.
Yeah, maybe go door to door.
Yeah,
it's a conspiracy, man.
Vecchione said I should come in there like just a fucking Italian. Just be like, do I look like a fucking asshole to you? You can stick to my yard, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
You're another fucking thing. Like, where it's like, I don't have the power to do that.
Yeah.
But
like,
I don't think
but like, if I could be that guy, like Racine or Luis Gomez would do that.
Luis Gomez would do that.
Yeah.
Mike Vecchione looks like, well, he's got that look.
He looks like he would.
I don't think he would.
Mm-mm. I would just go and say, can I have a cigarette? Like, if you're going to throw.
Marlboro Light,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to throw things.
Mike's got wide shoulders, Vecchione.
Yeah, he's got a wrestler body.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
What a physique.
Illuminati skull and crossbones. What's with that Illuminati triangle?
I mean, all of these images, you know, people have this idea that like you said, all these groups are like, you know, DC is designed and the pentagram and it's all, and listen, here's the reality. A lot of this like occult symbolism was a response to like the church, because the church was like running everything. And the people that wanted to show like, hey, fuck you to the church would like adopt some of this occult.
Like, we're Wiccan. And then like, hey, our Wiccan buddies are designing the dollar.
So
let's
like,
throw some Wiccan shit in there.
Yeah, it's like the occult. A
but
lot
like,
of
they haven't done anything. They're just like, throw it
a
in.
A lot of the occult symbolism has to do with like sexual freedom too. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, not being oppressed and people just wanting to fuck. And like, you know, that's what a lot of this shit is. Skull and bones and, you know,
it's
masturbating in the coffins. A lot of it is about, because
masturbating what? In coffee? Is that what you just said?
And coffins. They jerk off in coffins and shit. A lot of it is like, you know, people want to feel that people, these traditional institutions like the church have oppressed people for so long that people are like, yeah, I want to fucking go out and fuck and I want to be sexually liberated and like, yeah, I'm a witch. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, I don't think there's a lot of that is just the imagery of the
optics.
I'll
be whatever you need me to be so I can do it.
A lot of the optics, like a lot of these.
Yeah, just like, oh, I'll join your club. You guys sound cool.
Yeah, you know, oh, I'm a witch. Oh, cool. So I get to smoke weed and fuck people.
Like,
yeah,
you know, that's
or white power.
There have been pedophiles
like
who were like Satanists, but it's like, oh, you just want to fuck kids. Like you're like you're wearing a goat's head for the fun of it.
People join a. It's like, you know, it's like Hamas.
The point
it's
is
like,
to fuck kids. In the
you just want
to
fuck kids. Like that's why you're doing this spell.
However, you guys get there is fine with me.
Yeah,
that's what happens even on a bigger scale with like terrorism, where it's like. You know, like Hamas, it's like, well, they probably don't, like, people don't support Hamas, you know, just because they hate Jews. That's probably part of it, but also it's because they provide, like, fucking basic services in the neighborhoods and shit like
that. Yeah, Hamas has a great halal truck that'll go through, and it's really good.
It's
very hard for me to.
I really love their, they have, like, a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, basic services. Yeah, it's very good. Listen.
All right, you guys, what else are we missing? Anything?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, we covered it.
Fun to deal with.
We hit it pretty hard. I mean, we hit it pretty fucking hard.
You hit a bunch.
I'm very impressed with us.
If they can be kept because people do fear for their lives. So, like, let's just whatever.
Yeah, all the ones that I put on here, I mean, I had Oklahoma City, but, like, you know, I think a lot of the stuff there was that. Like, I've looked into a lot of that, and I don't think that there's anything there. Timothy McVeigh is an interesting guy because, you know, like, a lot of people subscribe to Supernatural. Like, oh, he was this.
Really?
Like, he was like a, well, he was like a, you know, a true American federalist. He just wanted the government involved. And but, like, the deeper you look into Timothy McVeigh, you're like, this was just a white supremacist.
Right. So. No fun. Just like a yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, and the one thing about Tim McVeigh that, like, I don't think, I think he did have some connections to, you know, there's a lot of places like Oklahoma City and places where it's like, you know, basically like fucking, you know, like ISIS training camps, but it's for, you know, like white nationalists.
Well, another big one is like, you know, Bin Laden, you know, was he a government agent? Was really killed? Was he, I mean, Patrice had the best take on that. It's like,
why wouldn't they show a picture of him? That's crazy.
Does seem very weird. Like, Patrice is like, in any of your own situations, your scenarios, would you throw flush Bin Laden down the toilet? You know? Yeah. I mean, but again, I think it's probably easier very to believe strange. That they fucking did something stupid. You know, that at the end of the day was never all about Bin Laden. That's the thing. I never bought that it was all about
and
Bin Laden.
And when it was Bin Laden, we got him. It was like, cool, so are we done? Are we pulling back?
No, we're in this forever.
Yeah, it's like...
we're in the war on terror for the rest of our lives. That's
I remember
what,
just feeling when everyone was clapping when that happened, when Bin Laden was like, we got Bin Laden. And everyone was like, yeah. But I'm like, I felt like uneasy because it's almost like, all right, so this guy who did this, who planned it, he got a good 10 years free.
Yeah.
So, like, eventually we got... one of the guys
and a bunch
like
of the people that provided
so
control.
Like when they got him, Zarqawi was still around, I think.
Yeah. They were still around, like, and the Saudi charities that funded this were still around. I mean, it's like, it's a little too much to just say. But again, it's like, you know, you at the end of this, Ari, it's all about belief. It's whatever you want to believe. We're all going to go to our grave really not knowing. We're not going to know.
A lot of us aren't even going to be able to afford a grave.
Well, that's the other thing. We won't have graves. Thank you. Thank you for somehow... making it worse.
We're
not going to know any of this. And you're like, we won't even have graves.
Our body's going to rot.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. Just unmarked in a hill.
Unmarked a hill. That sounds nice.
All right, you guys.
Unmarked in a hill is going to be the name of my other podcast.
Unmarked in a hill. Yeah, yeah. Just about people who've disappeared.
The opposite
in your life.
Of city on a hill.
Yeah. I want to do a podcast about all the people in comedy that you were with who no longer do comedy.
Fortunately, a lot of them are still around.
Yeah, who are those people?
Because you don't really remember them. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Someone has to really, really remind you of something specific. Mostly
some of them are happy. Some of them have
some
families.
Some are happy, and some of them are like, oh, I hope that guy got out. And then you go to like some place and you see him at the still bar and have a drink, and you're like,
oh,
we're
no,
still tangentially on. You know, on the side of it, they're holding on by a
But it's like, why do you do this still?
It's not like playing the guitar. It's not a fun thing to be mediocre.
Yeah, my dad whipped out the guitar last night at Christmas, and he's a great guitar player. It's like, that's fun.
That is fun.
You can
even be an average guitar player and bring joy to people's lives.
It's good. People are like, that wasn't bad. But the comedy, it's just like, any joke that's bad, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing?
It's on a single tagline. All right. Well,
thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Saint Germain, you can find your new album
Saint
now.
Album.
At where is it? iTunes, I'm sure.
It's 800 Pound Gorillas, but it'll be on iTunes.
800 what?
800 Pound Gorilla. That's the album recording label.
Okay.
And
it'll be on iTunes, though.
It'll be on iTunes, and you'll be able to get on my website, iTunes.
What's your website?
On Twitter, just danstgermain.net.
Dance.com. Really?
Yeah.
Germain.
.net. And then I'll probably have a wrestling podcast by at this point, so check that out. And hopefully I'm doing some other shit too.
I'll go to some low level wrestling organizations. Those are fun.
Oh yeah, those are just fun.
The locals.
Yeah, like there's some fun. There's some fun stuff in Brooklyn too.
We should go like as a group.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Tim Dillon.
TimDillonComedy.com. Tim J. Dillon on Instagram, D-I-L-L-O-N, and Twitter, same thing. And podcast, Tim Dillon's Going to Hell.
Tim Dillon's Going to Hell on Goth Digital. And, yeah. All right. That's it, right?
Yeah. That's
so.
It.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, good job, guys.
Later, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah, not to lose this till May. Headbang connects to the neck bone. Neck bone connects.
Again, the album's name is No Real Winners Here. I'm about to mess it up a bunch of times. But like, ignore that. And just listen for the fucking No Real. Every time you hear that other album, ignore that and just go, oh, No Real Winners Here is the album that I should be getting. Okay, now the fucking outroduction.
Okay, that was the episode. Get Dan St. Germain's album, Bad at the Good Times, available now at danstgermain.net. See Tim Dillon on the Netflix 15s right now on Netflix, along with my special, Ari Shaffir's double special called Double Negative. I saved it there. Adulthood and Childhood. Nope. Adulthood and Children. Watch them in inverse order. Try that. I wanted it randomized. I wanted it just flip back and forth. Another episode right now, fuck that, of Dope Meals. It's been a while. It's been about a year or more since I've done one. So this is for a restaurant in Glasgow called Ubiquitous Chip. I got a recommendation from my friend who used to live there. It's kind of upscale-y, but fucking delicious. I went. Okay, first of all, I got there, and it was like after the shows. The Glasgow, oh, dude, the Glasgow Stand. It's just the best comedy club I've played in the UK. It's a legit cool fucking club. I heard Glenn Wool tapes two albums there or an album there. It's fucking good. If you're in Glasgow and want something to do, hit the Stand. It's a fucking cool club. Dingy, dark crowd who supports comedy. Oh, yeah. Anyway, left from there, going to hang out in Glasgow, see the garbage. Before I do, I'm going to this Ubiquitous Chip. Get a chip. So I get in line and I say, can I... he likes the idea of Buckfast night. Can I get a table? Is it too late? It's already fucking 10 o'clock. and they're like, yeah, absolutely. Let me clear a table for you. One? Yeah, one. I know it's weird. The guy's totally fine. Oh, so this is why it's Dope Meals. I get high. I get super high. And then I go to these meals. And I was fucking stoned. No, no, I was not stoned. Oh my God, no, I was not. I walked there from the stand. Can I get a meal? No, I want to smoke before. And I go, hey, do I have time to get a cigarette? The guy's like, bro, totally. Not in those terms, but he didn't get in my face. He made it seem safe. He goes, we're just clearing it. I was like, all right, I might wait. And he, goes, and he just gave me a shrug, like, either way. And so I was like, you know what? No, I am going for a cigarette. Ha ha, AKA a joint. A real joint, not one of these fucking spliff shits that these goddamn UK assholes use. Walked around the block. I aired it out. I know what it's like in cool weather. Cool weather smoke sticks to you. You got to use your brain about this shit, you guys. Cool weather smoke sticks to you. So if you're smoking a cigarette, a legit cigarette, take a walk around. You stink. In the heat, you're okay. It falls off you. In the cold, you got to do your part. So same shit with weed. And I know how these squares are with weed. They don't get it. So took an extra walk around the block or two, around this park. Held the fucking joint away from my face. I might be able to have a quick pint in a bit, yeah. Oh, too late. Great. Away from your face, you walk. Away so it didn't get into your clothes. Even with that, did a couple more blocks, couple more laps, went back in. Guy didn't make it seem weird. Now I was blitzed. Did not make it seem weird. It's like, yeah, got your table over here. Put me in a corner. In a corner. So my back was to the wall on both sides. I mean a corner. My back was to boom and boom. So I didn't feel like anybody was sneaking up on me. I'd get my whole observation on, but I didn't feel weird like I was a fucking sitting at a two-top next to a single group alone. I could have looked at everybody. Then they left me there for a while. God, it was good. The food was goddamn delicious. They brought me a free fucking duck liver parfait with, what was on it? That shit I hear likes. Pistachios. But like that sweet pistachio, you know, the ice cream kind of pistachio. Oh, fresh bread, that butter that melts. Slow. I ordered an appetizer. I ordered that. They bring it to you one at a time. They don't rush you. They don't even fucking rush you. I went slow. I took my notebook out. I was writing ideas. Kept my phone away, took my notebook out. They leave you alone. I took time with that pre-appetizer they gave you. And then I took time with the appetizer. I mean, I took breaks. And I'm like, no, I'm fucking enjoying this shit. It was kind of Frenchy, and I fucking went for it. They didn't bug you at all. Good place to be high. They limit interaction When I was too much, they're like, hey, can I bring anything? Nope. Okay. And they just fucking took off. A lot of times when you're alone, people talk to you, which could be nice, but not when you're that high. Uh-uh. I needed to get back to my fucking notebook. He left me to it. Fucking good job. Good high experience. Yeah. Anyway, I'd recommend it. Ubiquitous chip. I would give it a one. I don't have a rating system for this. But the food was fucking good. The food was real good. Whew. I got like a steak of some kind later. I think the house steak. I don't know. That was fucking delicious and melty. Thick too. And some mushrooms. Man, it was fucking good. Anyway, if you're in Glasgow, fucking for sure Ubiquitous chip. They did me right. Get Stoned Before. And Get Stoned Before John Hastings' show. Did I say that? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. I had something to add, but I forget what it is. Oh, my European tour is on sale. It will be this stuff. It'll be Jew. As will all my fucking shit in America now. It is a theme hour. It is comedy club laughs. Anyway, I'll be in Austin. Adrian Appalucci is opening for me. I'll be in Austin September 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Get tickets now. And then I do my European tour in – oh, I'll be at the fucking – in Phoenix at the end of October. Okay, a couple of dates. End of October. On the 27th, 5th, yep, is I'm doing a show with Brendan Shaw, Brian Callen, the one and only Theo Vaughn, and Big J Okerson at the Orpheum. So get tickets to that. Also be there for the entire festival. We'll do a storytelling show at some point. And this material I probably do at the fucking Orpheum will probably not be from the special. We'll see. Maybe. I might come back and just do the actual hour. Okay, then Iceland in November, Brighton towards the end of November, London, two nights, Manchester, one night, Dublin, one night. Oh, these are all one night now. Okay. I'll be in Brussels. I'll be in Amsterdam, China Theater, Stockholm. Wow. Wow, I'm going to cool places. Stavanger, Norway. Oslo, Norway. Fuck yeah, I go to Berlin. Oh, God. I do the best. Copenhagen. Back to Christiania in December. I get to hang out with my friend I went hiking with. Full circle to nothing. And then Oslo. And then Zurich has been added. Jerusalem's about to be added if it's not already. That'll be in late December. Oh. All right. Guys, I'm having a fucking blast. It's so much fun here. Fuck the money. That's something that is another thing to I'll go into another time what the fucking fringe money is like. Or maybe we did one with my roommates a few years ago. It's crazy how much you take advantage of comedians here. But fuck all that. The actual experience is great. It's so fun. Oh, I love it here. I forgot because I took last year off. I forgot how great it was. Oh, and I've gotten so much cool shit. In my bucket. So we got to do this bucket thing. Did I explain this to you guys ever? So after free fringe shows or paid, no, or pay what you want shows, my show is pay what you want, which means you can get a ticket ahead of time or you can wait and you know, get in free if there's extra tickets. And then you can pay whatever you want. Also, if you get a seat, you can pay whatever. If you buy a seat, you can still pay whatever you want. So some of those people pay you more, but you have to wait outside afterwards with a fucking bucket and then be like, I'll be out there. You say hi, shake hands, and then you fucking wait for people to put money into your bucket. And that's how it works at the free fringe. It's crazy. And the pay what you want fringe. So then I make sure to save extra seats because I don't want just people buying tickets. You know, I want people to fucking degenerates who forget to buy tickets and people can't afford it, you know? Some of these people are college kids. They just want to, they don't have a pound. So it's like, they should be able to go see it too. You just don't have money. It doesn't mean you can't have fucking entertainment. Anyway, and then rich people give more. It's fucking cool. It's a cool system. What was I saying? Oh, so in my, besides some occasional drugs that I've gotten, that staff, when I had to change my money, the staff is just like, what? They're always like, what do you got today, Ari? It's like I have to dump it in front of them and I have to change up. You take all your pounds, like the 1 pound coins, and you trade those in for like bills so you're not walking around like a fucking change machine. No, could have done better with a metaphor there. Anyway, so besides drugs, I've gotten pesos, definitely dollars, definitely American money, pesos, a few euros, which I'll use in my European tour, and a fucking Chinese yuan. I got a bill of that. What else? I think that's it. No, pesos? Yeah, maybe that's it for foreign currency. But it's cool. Fucking went to China and still have bills left over in their pocket. Oh. Anyway. So that's the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Oh, and some candy. I got some candy one day. One of those Reese's with the piece of stuff with pieces. Reese's peanut butter cup stuff with pieces. God, I mean, they are operating on a level right now. These candy magnates. Unbelievable. So anyway, that's the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, DS Germain on Twitter or Tim J. Dillon on Twitter. For both those guys, I'm Ari Shaffir saying so long for episode 332. Skeptic Tank episode 332. 9/11 killed JFK. Yeah, I didn't do it right. Ari Shaffir saying so long. Till next time. I'll see you guys later. I'm loving this fucking place. God, you guys got to get out here.
Listen. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
I pledge no allegiance, nigga. Fuck the president's speeches. I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features, drowning you in propaganda that they spit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act attract you to the type of your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs and throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
They say the rebels in Iraq still fight for Saddam, but that's bullshit. I'll show you why it's totally wrong. Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'd be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the south, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit or look at you wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your moms. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting in a new era, corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack, trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids, and I don't mean like Michael. Your body be sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you, cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily, and poor people never get shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory, this shit is real, written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Y'all don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedence.
Bin Laden.